Sounds like it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, which doesn't make too much sense at all, based on the Gemara later on Nun Vav on the day. The Gemara says that the Bnei Noach, the Gemara has a whole sugya in Sanhedrin about the dinim of Bnei Noach. So the Gemara says Bnei Noach are obligated to observe the famous Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. So one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is dinim. So what exactly is included in dinim? So the Gemara says about 15 lines from the bottom of Nun Vav on the day. The Hoshid Bezdin, the whole Plach of Plach of the whole year of the year. The Gemara says, Tanya, we have a Tosefta, it says Tosefta in Abu Dazara. Kishem Shenitzabri Yisrael, the Hoshid Bezdin, the whole Plach of Plach of the whole year of the year. Just like the Jews are obligated to establish a Bezdin in every region, and then a further Bezdin in every city, Kachin Tzabib in the Nech, the Hoshid Bezdin, the whole Plach of Plach of the whole year of the year. The non-Jews are also obligated. So we mean the non-Jews are only obligated to establish a bezdin in the Chol of the year in Eretz Yisrael. Because not clear. How can it be? Eretz Yisrael doesn't play a role as far as the Nochem are concerned. So the obligation for the Nochem doesn't make a difference. Eretz Yisrael, Chutzlo, so how can it be that by us, in Chutzlo Ores, we don't have an obligation that the Bnei Noach have? We're less than the Bnei Noach. How can it be? The Pashto says it doesn't make any sense. So there is a Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Makkos, Mishnah. The end of the first Perek in Makkos says, Sanhedrin, that's on Zab Zayinim and Aleph, Sanhedrin, Nohagis, Bo'oritz, Vakutzala Oritz. The din of Sanhedrin that you can give Mrs. Bezdin exists both in Eretz Yisrael and in Kutzala. The Gemara is going to say in our Perek, and the first Perek in Sanhedrin, that the members of the Sanhedrin have to have smicha. And in order to get smicha, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. You have to know how to learn. You have to know how to learn. That's number one. But the smicha has to be conferred. Many things have to know how to learn. But the smicha, the official declaration of the smicha, has to take place in Eretz Yisrael. Both the one who's conferring the smicha and the one who's receiving the smicha have to be in Eretz Yisrael. But once you get smicha in Eretz Yisrael, when you go to Chutzlor, the smicha doesn't evaporate into thin air. The smicha remains. So you can have Sanhedrin in New York, you can have Sanhedrin in London. If they would have gotten a smicha in Eretz Yisrael, then they would travel to Chutz Lortz, they can function as a Sanhedrin. And the Mishnah says, Sanhedrin the Hegis Boris, so the Chutz Lortz, you can have a Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lortz. So the Gemara says, Minohani Nili, that's the last, that's Makkos Zayinim and Aleph, that's 15 lines before the end of the first Perek in Makkos. You know how do you know that there exists a concept of a smith and chutz lord? The Tana Rabbanon says it's also a tosefta. This is a tosefta in Sanhedrin. One Sanhedrin quotes a tosefta in Abu Dazara. The Gemara in Makkos quotes a tosefta in Sanhedrin. Okay. So the Gemara has a brayta. The Tana Rabbanon tosefta says, "Oh, you ever lachem lechukas mish, but the Zohar Reisechem." The Zohar Reisechem sounds like it applies throughout all of the generations, even the generation that's spoken of in the Chumash. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send an angel into Golos. The Zohar Seichem, throughout all the generations. That's how the Gemara knows. The Gemara says, how do you know that you can accept the Gerit? The Gemara says in Yivamis. How do you know that you can accept the Gemara in Nasti in Yivamis? The Gemara is increases. The Gemara increases says, how do you know that you can accept Gerit in this Banshein based on Mikdash Gayim? A Ger who converts is supposed to bring a special carbon, a special oil, carbon oil, either oil of Behema or oil of Sa'if. If you can't afford oil same, I'll bring another oil. So the Gemara says, maybe that's ma'akim, maybe this banshein based on Mikdash Kayim. You don't have the opportunity, you don't have the possibility of bringing the carbon hager, so maybe you can't accept any ger. So the Gemara says, no, there's a pasuk that says, ger, that is, speaks of the possibility of accepting ger throughout all of the generations. And the Chumash speaks of a possibility of a generation where there is no based on Mikdash. There is a parish in the Chumash, Avshemoti es Mikdashaychem. So if it's possible to have a generation described in the Chumash where there's no Beis HaMikdash, how can the other Pasuk say that you can accept Ger throughout all the generations if the Ger has to bring a carbon? So the Gemara in Krisis on Daf Tesam and Aleph, the beginning of the second Perek in Krisis, the Gemara derives in that Pasuk that it says you can accept the Ger, the Dorei Seichem, throughout all the generations. The Gemara understands in that Pasuk that the carbon HaGer is not Miyakim. That's why it's possible to have a ger b'zman hazeh. So too the Gemara says over here. It says in the end of Parshas Maaseh, it says whoever is chayv nisa gets a punishment on misa. Whoever is chayv goldus has to go to the Ora Nikla. Then it says, "Oh, you elo lachem b'chukas mishpat." The doy reseichem throughout all of the generations. Then it even says further, "B'chol moshu sechem." That's the reading in the Gemara is missing. The Gemara in Marcus only quotes this Tosefta as if they're learning from the word L'dor HaSeichem. That the L'dor HaSeichem implies throughout all of the generations, even in the generation described in the Chumash, that the Jews will be living in Chutz L'Orz. Yes, that happens, that it can't be, because the Gemara says in the first parak in Sanhedrin that the Sanhedrin only exists in Chutz L'Orz, is not that you have the Sanhedrin Gdolo and the Lishkas Agos. You no longer have the Sanhedrin Gdolo and the Lishkas Agos, then you can't have any Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel and other cities in Eretz Yisrael or other cities in Chutz L'Orz as well. So that's why on the side of the Gemara there they correct the reading, that the Limud is not so much from the word L'dor HaSeichem. It would have been good to learn from the word L'dor HaSeichem. L'dor HaSeichem means throughout all the generations, even the generation described in the Chumash that says that the Jews will be living in Golos. Yeah, but that's problematic. Why are the Jews living in Golos? Because they were machriv the Beit HaMikdash. Otherwise the Jews would be living in Golos. There's no Beit HaMikdash, so there's no Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas HaGozim. So then you can't have the Sanhedrin in Chutz L'Orz. You can't have a Sanhedrin anywhere there. So how can you have a limud from a pasuk that you can have a Sanhedrin that never seichem throughout all the generations? So that's why on the side of the Gemara in the Gilyon, they corrected that the reading of the pasuk, that pasuk in Parshas Masay, reads, "Oyuela lachem luchukas mishpat l'derech seichem b'chol mosh v'seichem." B'chol mosh v'seichem means wherever the Jews happen to live, even if they live in Chutz L'Orz. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk that Sanhedrin can exist even b'chol mosh v'seichem outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Cain, so then the Raisa, the Tosefta there, Marcus Arzain poses the question, and Cain Masa Maloimar, Bechol Shiorecho, and today it says, Shokta Vashet Tislocho, Bechol Shiorecho, Lishvatecha, Sher Shashkan Osa Machol Lishvatecha. It implies only in Eretz Yisrael. It implies you only have a mitzvah Hamad of Zayonim in Eretz Yisrael. And here the Pasuk says, Bechol Mashvatechem, it's possible to have a Sanhedrin even a Chutz L'Orz. So the Gemara gives it, so the Raisa gives an answer. Bisharecha means in Eretz Yisrael atem Moshe batadina b'chol tzlacha tzlacha b'chol year v'year. In Eretz Yisrael you have the full mitzvah to establish batadina in every region and every area, and to establish a bezin b'chol year v'year in each and every city. However, b'chutz l'aretz you don't have the obligation to the same extent as in Eretz Yisrael. Atem Moshe b'chol tzlacha tzlacha atem Moshe b'chol year v'year. There's no obligation to establish a bezin in each and every city. It's only an obligation to establish a bezin in every region that should take care of the problem. So the Gemara says that there is an obligation to establish. You can't say that the obligation to establish a bezin is only in Eretz Yisrael, like the simple reading of the pasuk. So how can it be that the Bnei Noach have an obligation to be mamid dayan? They don't have a din of Eretz Yisrael. But from the fact that Bnei Noach have an obligation means that we have an obligation to Chutz L'Orz also. So the answer appears here in this Tosefta in Makkos of Zayinim and Aleph. There is an obligation, to the basic obligation, to establish the bezin that's really sufficient to hold plach of plach in every region. How do you define a region? The bezin should be, they shouldn't keep people waiting 5 months till they hear their case. They shouldn't keep people waiting a month either. You should have a bezin in every region that should be able to take care of the needs of all the people who live in that region. So you decide, okay, how many Jews are there in Wyoming and Montana? I don't know. Not so many Jews. You can have one bezin for the whole Midwest, maybe. And then Los Angeles, you need 5 batadinim. New York, you need 100 batadinim. A lot of Jewish criminals, and a lot of Jews, and a lot of din haTorah, all kinds of things going on in New York. So you need, it depends, you'll need the whole plach of plach, each region you'll need a bezin that'll be able to take care of the needs of all of the people. But the whole year of the year, that obligation only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That obligation doesn't apply in Chutz L'Orz. The problem is that it doesn't really answer the question, because here on Nun Vav Amadeis, the Gemara quotes this Tosefta that reads, "Kishem shenistabu Yisrael lahoshet bat tzedinim b'chol tlacha placha b'chol ir v'ir." Just like the Jews have an obligation in every region and in every city, so too kach the tabu b'nei noyach, one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach is dinim. So dinim requires that they should establish a bezin to be done on all of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. So the non-Jews have an obligation all over the world to establish a bezin b'chol ir v'ir, and the Jews only have that obligation in Eretz Yisrael. And Chutz L'Orz we have less than the goyim. It also doesn't make any sense. How can it be that the Nochrim, wherever they live, have an obligation to establish a bezin b'chol plach u'plach b'chol ir v'ir? That's what the Gemara quotes in the Tosefta. And the Jews that live in Chutz L'Orz only have an obligation to establish b'chol plach u'plach, and don't have an obligation to establish a bezin b'chol ir v'ir. It doesn't make any sense. So if the, you look in the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes that Tosefta from Daf Nun Vav on the day, says it's in Perek Tes and Hilchos Malachim Halacha Yud Dalet. The last halacha in Perek Tes, that the Rambam has a different girsa, which makes more sense. He says one of the Sheva Mitzvahs on earth is dinim. Ketzad mitzuvim heim al hadinim. In what way are the nochrim obligated to observe the mitzvah of dinim? Chayavim lahoshiv dayonim v'shoftim chol plach uplach lo de meshesh mitzvah seivu. He doesn't write b'chol yaviyim. Makes more sense. It means that the basic obligation to establish dayonim shoftim shoftim tikkun lechol. There's an obligation of Hamadas Dayanim, that's the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. That's probably why they decided to learn from it, isn't it? So they're learning, they started with Man Parsha Shoftim. The basic obligation to establish Bati Dinim is B'chol Plach Plach in every region. The Tzadikim will be able to take care of the needs of the people who live in that community. And that's Shoveh, that's equal by Yisrael and Mevaydachim. And then in Eretz Yisrael there's a special mitzvah, Lahamid Dayanim B'chol Year V'Year. Even if it's not really that necessary. They're not going to be full-time Dayanim. Or they're going to have 7 days a week, they're going to sit in bed and put their thumbs, they're going to read the newspaper. They're going to meet Monday or Thursday, they meet once a month, once a week or something. But in Eretz Yisrael there's an obligation to have a Bezdin B'chol Year V'Year, even though it's not really that necessary. What kind of a... Why should it be a difference between... Because the Pasuk says, B'chol Shearecha, Hashem Hashem Lekecha Noten Lechol Lishvatecha. That in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem Hashem Noten Lechol Lishvatecha. In Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Hashem Yisrael Kol Lishvat, and you have an obligation to establish a business in B'chol Shearecha, in each and every city. Why Taka should that be so? We have a Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, where the Mishnah distinguishes between Mitzvahs Hatluyas Ba'aretz as opposed to Chayvus Gavra. The Gemara calls it Chayvus Gavra and Chayvus Karka. Chayvus Gavra, Tzitzis and Tzil and the Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlot. You see? And Chayvus Karka, the Mitzvahs Hatluyas Ba'aretz, Trumas and Marisis and Shvita the Yodel and Lekha Chikr and Peh, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. So what is Hamadah Zayon? Hamadah Zayon is nothing to do with the agriculture. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. So why should the mitzvah change in Eretz Yisrael? As opposed to Chutzlar, that's what the Pasuk says. And today said, but why should that be so? Why should it change? Why should it be more of an obligation to be B'chol Year V'Year in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to in Chutzlar? And such a similar strange, not so strange, such a similar phenomenon, and it gets to Biur Avodah Zarah. There is a din that you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, and if you find Avodah Zarah, you have to destroy it. Abeti Abdun is called on the premise of Shirab the Shom Adem, and just laying there Shabbat. That Biur Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says in Masechas Avodah Zarah that there's a difference between the mitzvah Biur Avodah Zarah and not an agricultural mitzvah either. It's a Chavis Agu, not a Chavis Karka. So it should have been the same in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlar. The Gemara says it applies both to Eretz Yisrael and to Chutzlar. But still, there's a difference. The Gemara says the Pasuk repeats Abeti Abdun twice. Okay, for Lashon. And the Gemara, we assume the Gemara has an ongoing debate between Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shema, where the Darshan Lashon is Tulim. But they say Dibur Terek Lashon Miri Adam. So the fact that the Pasuk repeats the expression Abeti Abdun, Hanik Tanik, and Rosh Mitzin, and all the repetitions don't necessarily mean anything. And we assume not so. We assume like Rabbi Akiva that loy dibur terek l'shem b'nei adam. Every time the Torah has l'shem is kulim, a kefal loshen, it needs to be marred by something. I feel a me'afamim, no sentitin, I feel a me'afamim, something. It's always, there's a reason why it's repeated twice. So the Gemara comments in Masechus Avodah Zarah, Gemara comments on the phrase, Adeti Abdun, that we follow Rabbi Akiva that you don't say dibur terek l'shem b'nei adam. It means something. Why is it written twice? So the Gemara says that when they conquer Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, whatever Avodah Zarah is obvious and apparent, they have to destroy right away. And that then applies in Chutzlars also. If I buy a home, if I rent an apartment, and I find an Avodah Zarah in the apartment, and I have shlita over it, so it's my obligation to destroy it. What if I place a church somewhere in Nevada, and the Indians are worshipping some totem pole? So it's my obligation to go to Nevada and to destroy it. I'll go in, they'll put me in jail. They'll make me pay. So the Gemara says, in Chutzlar, you're not Mechuyiv. In Eretz Yisrael, you are Mechuyiv. The Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Seder. There's a Seder HaDvarim. when you come into Eretz Yisrael and they're in the process of conquering the land, so abei de'achakach pi'abdu. They should destroy the obvious avodah zarah that they see right away. They should bomb them, and then they have to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. And after they finish conquering Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael talks with Sharish Achreel. You have to search out. You have to go try to discover where all the avodah zarahs are. If it's Yad Yisrael Takifa, if the Jews have control, if they don't have control, they can't fulfill the mitzvah. But if you have control over Eretz Yisrael, so it's our obligation to destroy all the avodah zarahs wherever they happen to be. But in Chutz Lord, the Gemara says, "Ain't it tzarach l'sharish achreel?" You have to make a whole research and to study and to discover where all the hidden avodah zarahs are, and to be moisa nefesh to destroy avodah zarah. If it's Yad Yisrael Takifa, if I buy a home and it has avodah zarah, so I'll destroy the avodah zarah. It's not my house; it's someone else's house. It's not my obligation. So there, it's also a little strange. How come the mitzvah beer avodah zarah, which is not an agricultural mitzvah, it has nothing to do with the mitzvah tatuyas baris, doesn't have to do with kedusha baris? So how come it's different between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lord? So why is it more of an obligation? One is more obligated than Eretz Yisrael than he is in Chutz Lord at Tzorach L'Sharish Achreha. The pashtus you have to say is that the basic mitzvah bir avodah zarah only applies to the obvious avodah zarah that you're aware of. And the mitzvah applies equally in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lord. The fact that in Eretz Yisrael there is an additional din, an additional requirement that Tzorach L'Sharish Achreha, you have to, after you conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, it says, first you destroy the obvious avodah zarah, then the Gemara says, Shein HaDvarim is, you conquer Eretz Yisrael, and after you complete the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, then you have to go dig up all the hidden avodah zarahs and destroy all of those as well. So that additional din, the Pashto says, that's not really a chelik of the mitzvah bir avodah zarah. That's probably a chelik of the mitzvah. You should Eretz Yisrael. We should live in Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean you should live in Eretz Yisrael? You should live in Eretz Yisrael under non-Jewish government? No. If you live in Eretz, the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael for many years under non-Jewish control. They fulfilled the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. That's how the poskim write it. Because the psukim in the end of Chumash Bamidbar that speak about where is in Parshas Matos or Masei, speak about the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. So it says, the Jews should seize control of the land, and then Yishaftenbo, they should live in Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvah, the shleimus of living in Eretz Yisrael, is to live in Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control. If it's not under Jewish control, it's incomplete, because you're fulfilling the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. So the complete mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael is to live in a Yiddish Eretz Yisrael. It should be Yiddish, there shouldn't be any avodah zarahs anywhere. Not just that there shouldn't be any avodah zarahs in the Jewish section. In a non-Jewish section, you can leave, or hidden, and you don't know where it is. That doesn't bother you. No, it should be a clean Eretz Yisrael, like they have on the Coca-Cola bottle. Shmor al Nikayon Haaretz. They ask you not to throw it in the street. Throw it into a garbage can. So just like you're supposed to keep Eretz Yisrael pretty and clean, so you should be clean in the Ruchnias Dikur sense. You shouldn't allow any avodah zarahs anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and thereby you fulfill the mitzvah b'shleimusa of Yishav Eretz Yisrael. But it's not so much because of the mitzvah of bir avodah zarah. The avodah zarah lachar shouldn't make a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lord. It's a chavis aguf. It should be the same. Not a chavis karka. There is a mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael. It should be a Yiddish medina. So you shouldn't allow any avodah zarahs in Eretz Yisrael. So the pashto says that's probably the same over here also. The mitzvah to establish a bezin b'chol year b'year, even though it's not really needed. B'chol plach plach would have really been sufficient to take care of all of the cases. A bezin b'chol plach plach, no one would have to wait more than a week and a half to have it in Torah. So if that's enough for the Nachrim, that's enough for the Jews. That's how we're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hamad Zayam, Shavtam Shavtam Tikkun L'chol. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to have b'chol sherech b'chol year b'year. That's how the Gemara learns that later in the first parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara learns that from the word Disharecho, that it applies to Chol Yer V'Yer. Where is that Gemara? Yeah, that's on Tezayin on the days. Tezayin on the days in the first parak in Sanhedrin, the first wide line. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from today's Sedra. Minayin Shemaminim Shoftim Li Yisrael. How do you know there's a mitzvah of Hamad of Zayon? And Talmudayim Shoftim Tita. How do you know there's a mitzvah to establish shotrim, police, that they should enforce the stock of the Bazidinim? Amalam shotrim, tite. How do you know you have to have l'chol shevet v'shevet tamloam l'shvatecha? How do you know you have to have shochim l'chol shevet tamloam l'shvatecha? How do you know you have to have l'chol year v'year? Tamloam l'chol shearecha. It doesn't say l'shearecha. It says l'chol shearecha. L'chol shearecha. How do you know you have to have shochim l'chol year v'year? It says again l'chol shearecha. But that added snake that in Eretz Yisrael there's a nitzvah of hamad zayanim l'chol year v'year. However, that's not so much for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hamad Zayon. Hamad Zayonim probably is the same there as Yisrael and Chutz Lord. The same as by the Bnei Noach, the whole plach of plach, every region, a region being defined as if this Bez Dinism is sufficient to take care of all the cases in that area. It's not enough, so you have to make it plach, smaller. You have to declare the region, half of the Bronx. One section in Manhattan, you can't say all of Manhattan is one section. All Manhattan is one block. You have so many Jews living in Borough Park and Flatbush, you have to declare every couple of blocks on Flatbush is going to be another block. So, in Chutz Lord, that's enough. There's the Mechol Flach of Flach in every region that will take care of the needs of the people. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's an additional requirement that you have to have a Bez and Mechol every year, even if you don't really need it. Even if you don't really need it. But they're not going to meet every day. They'll meet once a month. They'll meet once a week. To show that the Jewish Medina is such a wonderful Medina, we have Batadinim in every single city, that everything is according to justice, law and order, officially. Really, it's enough for Chol Flach Flach to take care of all of the needs of the people. But still, in order to demonstrate how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is, you have to have Bechol Yer V'Yer. I think there's such a similar idea. There's a Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Avodah Zarah, when the nation is dealing with the pasuk in Chumash that says La Savi Saeva El Baisecha. What was that? The last acceptance. I think it was the Parshat. So the Gemara understands that. The Mishnah understands that pasuk La Savi Saeva El Baisecha. Saeva means an Avodah Zarah. You're not permitted to bring an Avodah Zarah into your house. You're not permitted even to allow a non-Jew to come into your home with his Avodah Zarah. Let's say on Pesach, someone's coming to fix my, Chalamoy Pesach, someone's coming to fix something, you'd like to fix my Chalamoy, the window broke, A Nachri comes to fix something, and he comes with his Chamzika sandwich in his pocket. I don't have to tell him, please don't bring the Chamzika sandwich into my house. Because in Tehen, it says, if the chametz belongs to Anachri, there's no prohibition about you by it. And there's no chashash, there is a din with the rabbanim, you're not permitted to have non-kosher food around the house. But if the guy has it, it's his bag, so what's the chashash? I'm not going to eat what he has anyway. There's no chashash I'm going to eat it. So it says in the Gemara, if the Anachri worker comes, let's say he comes to deliver the laundry or something, I don't know. Whatever he's coming from, how am I? If he comes and he comes with his bottle of schnapps in his pocket or whatever, the ham sandwich in his pocket, it's not my problem. There's no violation of Rabbi Moses. It doesn't belong to me. But if the Nachri comes in my house and he has his geshke in his pocket, he has a dovish al avodah zarah in his pocket, I have to ask him, it's against my religion, I have to ask him to please leave his avodah zarah at home. I'm not permitted to let him enter my house with the avodah zarah in his jacket. Because the pasuk says, l'shavi sa'eba el b'isecho, you're not permitted to allow a ta'eva means a dovish al avodah zarah into your home. The Tesis on that Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah, Tesis deals with the problem that in, so the Mishnah says, you're not permitted to rent, that's the Mishnah on Daf Chof Aleph and Aleph in Avodah Zarah, the top of Daf Chof Aleph and Aleph, you're not permitted to rent an apartment to a Nachri if you know that he may bring in the Mishnah Machnus Letech Avodah Zarah. If you know the Nachri is such that he may bring in an Avodah Zarah into the apartment, so it's forbidden to rent an apartment to the Nachri because you, the landlord, will be in violation of the din of Lo Savi Seiv El Beisech. The Tesis is bothered with the Kasha that in Europe, the Balei HaTesis did it all the time. They used to have apartments in France, in Germany, and they used to rent it to Nachri. And the Nachri used to bring in a Dovish Al Avodah Zarah when someone would be sick, someone would die. On special occasions, on Avodah Zarah holidays, on Yom Eidom, the Taisa says, we knew in advance that when we rented the apartment to this Nachri, that he's an Eved Avodah Zarah, and we knew in advance what his practice is, that on certain Christian holidays, or certain special occasions when someone's born, someone dies, special occasions, someone gets married, they would bring in a davish alav adizar. The Tosfos has a whole discussion. Yesh lefak peka meha yusamchim b'nei adam limkor ulahaskir batim lov zikachovin. Limkor is not a problem. But to rent an apartment to an achri, that's the problem if we know in advance that you're going to bring in a davish alav adizar. The Tosfos has different suggestions what the heter is based on. That was clearly the practice. Have different suggestions why it might be mutter. So one of the suggestions they give is that maybe when the pasuk says la'savi se'eva el be'secho, that pasuk is in Dvarim chapter Vav. It wasn't last week's study, obviously. No, Dvarim Vav is before in Vaskana. But that pasuk la'savi se'eva el be'secho, the Tosfos has one of the suggestions. Maybe be'secho only applies to Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews live in Chutz Lareitz. It's not really called Beit Shechel. Only in Eretz Yisrael is called Beit Shechel. So it says a quote, Rav Chaim Koin makes that suggestion. So Yanira Lo, Rav Chaim Koin makes a suggestion. Different Bali Atayas have different suggestions. What's the heter? The minute clearly was that they rented to Nachrim, knowing in advance they're going to bring in a Dovish Alav Adizar. So one suggestion is because it's Chutz La'aretz and it didn't only apply in Eretz Yisrael. The Tosfos is bothered with a kasha, but kasha batuva, it's very difficult. Do you mean to say that the chiyuv mezuzah and chutz la'aretz is only with the rabbanan? It says, stop them on the mezuzah, beisecho, uvisha recha. The word beisecho, a Jewish home, a real place for the Jewish home, is only in Eretz Yisrael. Very Zionistic Tosfos. So yes, kasha, it means it's not called, Eretz Yisrael is the home of the Jewish people. So if a Jew owns a home of chutz la'aretz, it's not called beisecho, so the obligation to put a mezuzah and chutz la'aretz only with the rabbanan. They said they never heard of such a thing. They don't believe that it's true. Both Kasha, the Rabbein Yehuda, the Baal HaTaisis, Rabbi Yehuda, Sir Leonis, the Kasha, Gabi Mezuzah, the Chzid Beisecho, Chanami Teimudu, Mishayesh Labayis, Bechut Floret, Yipote Mena Mezuzah. They don't think it's true. The Gemara says when you buy a home, Bechut Floret, you chayv a mezuzah right away. When you rent a home, you chayv a mezuzah after 30 days. The Taisis says after 30 days, it's only by the Rabbanon. I rent it, it's only by the Rabbanon, Shomar Zayin. But if you buy the home, the chutz la'aretz, then you're chayv min ha-Torah. So you're going to tell me, according to this, Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, that the real beisecho of the Jew is only a Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael. Jew who lives in chutz la'aretz, not really called beisecho, and that's why there's no violation of l'vasavi seiv al beisecho. So therefore, it should come to the Taisei Esakasha, Rabbeinu Yehuda. Yehuda said, we only have to kasha, Yehuda Chosei Esakasha. So how come there's a chayv mezuzah min ha-Torah? So the sum of what you have to say in Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen is, he didn't mean to say that Beisecho, that Beisecho has a connotation of Eretz Yisrael. That you can't call a Jew who lives in the Chutz La'aretz, can't be able to call it Beisecho. How can you say it like that? You buy a home in Chutz La'aretz, you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's called Beisecho. You see, mezuzahs min ha-Torah. No, Rav Chaim Koin probably meant a different thing. That pasuk that speaks about L'Savi Se'evel Beisecho, is not in the mitzvah Tafuyas Baharat. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. It doesn't depend on Tzushas Baharat. But still, Rav Chaim Koin meant to say that that's a chelik of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is that the Jew should live in Eretz Yisrael under control of a Jewish government, and it should be a clean country, and you shouldn't have any Avodah Zarah anywhere. There's a mitzvah of Bir Avodah Zarah to a greater extent than there is a Chutz La'aretz. And as a chelik of that mitzvah, Bir Avodah Zarah is, L'Savi Se'eval Be'Secho. That if the Jew has a home in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't have shlit over the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It's not under Jewish control, Eretz Yisrael. They can't destroy all Avodah Zarahs. They'll make a holy war. They'll kill all the Jews. We can't destroy the Avodah Zarahs. But still, you have shlit over your home. So we don't allow, the Torah doesn't allow us, we're not permitted to let the Nochri enter our home with an Avodah Zarah, to bring in an Avodah Zarah. So of course, if we have shlit over our home, so that would be a violation of Nikoyon Ha'aretz. You're making dirty Eretz Yisrael, at least to the extent of your own home, you shouldn't allow Avodah Zarah. Some of that's Rav Chaim Koin meant. He probably didn't mean to say that the term Beisecho only applies in Eretz Yisrael. How can it be? So the Chiv Mezuzah and Chutz La'aretz only with Rabbanon. That's Tosfos Kasha. How can they make a Chiv if you rent a home in Chutz La'aretz? They made a Chiv with Rabbanon. If the Ochiyah, if you buy a home, the Chutzlar is on the Midirabbanah, the Chiyah Mezuzah is on the Midirabbanah. So they're going to make it Zera Lekzera, that if you rent a home, you're Chayyah Mezuzah Midirabbanah, because people will think that it's yours, and if it's yours, you're only Chayyah Midirabbanah. So obviously, if the home belongs to you, the Chutzlar is Chayyah Mezuzah Midirabbanah. So the fact is that Rav Chaim Kahn only meant a restricted concept. He didn't mean that whenever the word Beisech appears in Tanakh, it only applies there to Israel. It means when you get to be a Rabbi Dezara, that this is that this mitzvah, Loisavi Seibal Beisecha, this Loisesei, is a chelik of the mitzvah of Yishad Eretz Yisrael, Dishlei Musa. You have to live in Eretz Yisrael in a clean fashion. I don't know. Maybe to add on a loisetzei, to make it more serious. I don't know. Abeti Abdun is a mitzvah to say. And here, if they bring it into my home where the Jews live, maybe it's a more severe violation of this mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so the Torah slaps on a loisetzei. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay, that's what you have to say over here also, Luchara, that the basic mitzvah of Hamadas Zayonim applies equally in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlo. The basic mitzvah really is B'chol Tzlach Tzlach, and the same applies to the B'nai Noyach. They have a Tziya Achir B'chol Tzlach Tzlach. That's how the Rambam quoted that Tosefta. The way we have it in the Gemara on Daf Nun Vav on the days is problematic. It comes out that the B'nai Noyach have a Achir L'Hoshiv Zayon B'chol Yir, which we don't even have in Chutzlo. We only have in Eretz Yisrael. So the B'nai Noyach who live all over the world have more of an obligation of Hamadah Zayonim than the Jews within the Chutzlo. How can it be? It doesn't make sense. Well, you have to say that the basic mitzvah of Hamadah Zayonim is only B'chol Tzlach Tzlach. And the added nature, you have to have B'chol Yir V'Yir, that's only an Eretz Yisrael, not a Chutzlo. That's what the Tosefta said in Makkos, on the Zayonim and Aleph. That's a chelik of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That every city should be have a Beit HaMishpat to show that we're going to keep law and order, we're going to maintain law and order. To enhance the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Here there is a discussion in the tour, the very first siman in Choshen Mishpat, regarding this mitzvah of Hamadah Zayonim, whether it applies to Zman HaZeh in HaTorah. Because the original din of Shavtu Meshat Tzitzu Nechoa applies if you have smuchim to establish a Bez Din of 23, you don't always have so many cases of Din in the question. To establish a Sanhedrin of 23 Dayanim Smuchim, or to establish a Bezin of 3 Smuchim to deal with cases of Din in Mominus. And that's the question, what about this Zman HaZeh? We don't have any Smuchim anymore. The Smicha that we have is only imitation. The Smicha can only be conferred Ish Mitish at Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael. So the chain of the Shalshalos HaMasorah has been broken already a long time ago. There's no more any smicha yishim tiyish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. The smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. It's a takkonah. The Gemara is going to have it later. Well, I was going to explain on Daf Hem Beis what our institution of smicha is. Really, in Yiddish, they call smicha heter hayroh. That's what it is in the Medina Gemara. It's not real smicha. That's a hayroh permission to pass it. Gemara says, Rav Yudah Anas, they made a takkonah that's on Hem Beis by the tiny letter Hey of the Ayin Mishpat. Talmud al Yoreh, and came not over Shusni Rabbah. And no one should pass in any Shailas, or some Rishonim learn, no one should be a Rebbe to teach in the Yeshiva, al Yoreh, to be a Moreh. Either Hayroa Miloshin to Paskin, or a Talmud al Yoreh shouldn't be a teacher, unless he's not over Shusni Rabbah, unless he has Heter Hayroa, unless he has permission to practice Hora'ah, either in the sense of teaching or Paskin, whatever Hora'ah means in this context. So that's what today we call it Heter Hayroa. And as a nickname, we call it smicha, but it's not the real bona fide smicha. The real smicha was lost a long time ago, many, many centuries ago. So that's the question, is there a mitzvah, the araita of Hamadah Zayonim, Bizman HaZeh? And Yoy said that Zayonim don't have any smicha, maybe we should assume that the whole mitzvah only applies to Bizman HaZeh and the Rabbanon. So that's the question the Gemara is going to discuss. The fact that Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph is going to bring out the idea that Bizman HaZeh we are done with Hedyotis. Hedyotis is a person that doesn't have smicha. A mumche means a person has smicha, and a hedyot means a person who can be very, very learned, but if he doesn't have smicha, he's called a hedyot. Hedyot means an idiot. What's that, Greek word, Latin word, something? Kain hedyot, kain gadol. Hedyot means plain, common, a common person. Yeah. So a hedyot means a person does not smicha. He doesn't have that qualification. So the Gemara raises the question, how can we don bizman hazeh if we don't have any smuchim? So You see, the Chachamim who wrote the Talmud Bavli lived at a time that there still were Smuchim in Eretz Yisrael. So they, but in Babel they didn't have Smicha, because they couldn't travel back and forth so easily. You can only get Smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Once you get Smicha in Eretz Yisrael, then if you travel to Babel, you can practice there. You can have a Sanhedrin and so on. You can have a Bezin. But they didn't travel back and forth. It was expensive. It wasn't like today. You travel all the time. So they pushed it in Babel. They didn't have any Smuchim at all. So the Gemara in the days of the Talmud Bavli, they raised the question, how are we done? As in Torah of Dini Mamas, we don't have any Smuchim, and the Pasuk says you have to have Smuchim. So the Gemara says, Anan Shlich Asayu Kavdina. So we in Babel, the Rabbanim in Babel, serve as the Shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. After a few generations passed by, there were no more Smuchim in Eretz Yisrael. So then the Rishonim raised the question, so how can we be done? Dini Mamas is Mana Zeb, is Mana Zeb. Not is Mana Zeb, is Mana Gemara. Mana Gemara, there were Smuchim in Eretz Yisrael. They say the Rabbanim in Babel, Tamid HaChachamim in Babel, who don't have any Smicha, can function as the Shluchim, as the representatives of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. They give them permission. They authorize them to act on their behalf. But the question was raised in later generations when the whole institution of Smicha collapsed. There were no more any Smuchim even in Eretz Yisrael. How can anybody be done Didi Mominus anywhere? Who is Shluchim of whom? So the Rishonim have an expression. We today are the Shluchim of the original Smuchim who used to live years ago. So that's a big question in the Rishonim. This institution that's called Shlichusayu, that the Rabbanim today, the imitation Rabbanim today that we have, function as the Shluchim of the bona fide Rabbanim who used to live years ago in Eretz Yisrael, is that a din deraisa, that they have a right to function? Did they have a right to act as the Shluchim of the Rabbanim who lived years ago? Or is this whole institution of Shlichusayu, that the Rabbanim and Talmid HaChachamim in Babel can act as the Shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, or the Rabbanim today can act as the Shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael from years ago, maybe the whole thing is a Takana de Rabbanim? That's the question. Is that a Din de Raisa, or is that a Din de Rabbanim? So that's, if you look in Chosha Mishpat, that's the discussion, the very first topic that they bring up. The first two Sivis, the Simon Aleph, the Kotan Aleph, and the Sivis refers you to a Machloikos Tosfos and the Rashbo, in Yevamis. The Gemara says in Yevamis, when you have a non-Jew who wants to convert, you require that he should convert in the presence of a Bezin of three. Yes, or Shloisha, because the Pasuk implies that it's considered like Mishpat. Mishpat Sidbe. The Pasuk uses the expression Mishpat. That's just the Derech Agav. The Mishnah is going to list all different types of Batidinim that are needed. Sometimes the Bezin is needed to Paskin. You have a din teren din mominus, you have a case of din nefashis, a case of malchus, a case of golus. They need a bezin to decide whether the person is chayv golus or not, whether he's chayv mominus, not, and so on. Then you have a bezin that doesn't paskin anything. Let's say you have a bezin that watches when the gear is converted. They're paskining something. We know for sure he's not Jewish now, and after he's going to have the bris milah, kabbalah shal mitzvah, he's going to be tevel in the mitzvah, he's going to be Jewish. There won't be any, there's no room for negotiation over here. That's halacha. He becomes Jewish. So nonetheless, the geirus, the ceremony of geirus has to be done under the auspices of a bez. That's a maisa bez. Or let's say chalitza. The Mishnah says that the chalitza needs a bezin of three, or a bezin of five, or machlekes satanoim. Chalitza needs a bezin. What are they going to pass him? What is a shaila? There's no shaila. They borrow a chalitza shoe from somebody else, and they perform the chalitza. If there's any shadow, they're going to have to call someone else up. They don't have to know the Dina. It's just a requirement. The Mishnah says in Yevamis, the Mishnah Chalitza, they don't have to be scholars. The three people who constitute the Bezin for Chalitza can be plain Pashat of Balabas. They don't have to become Islam. You don't need Smicha at all. Even Bizman HaTanoim, when all the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they had Smuchim all over the place, they didn't need Smuchim for Chalitza. There's nothing to Paskin about. So that the Bezna does a Maisa Bezna here. Medida Segla Rufa. The Mishnah has Smicha Zekenen. When you're required to bring a Par Helam Dovashal Tibur, when the Bezna Godel Paskin that turning on the light is Mutar on Shabbos, or you're permitted to eat certain kinds of Chelev, Adam, or whatever, and then everybody, if the chief rabbi says okay, is okay, so everybody goes and enjoys the Chelev, Adam, turning on light, and so on. And then later on, the Bezdin realizes they made a mistake, or these guys all retire. These old fogies retired to get a new bezin. New bezin says the old guys didn't know what in the world they were talking about. You're not allowed to turn on the light. It's an issue of their right. It turns out that the rov of Klal Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, I violated Chilul Shabbos b'Shegeg. they violated an aver, which if they would have done it in Mezid, they would have been chayv kares, and that they did it b'shegig, they're all chayv chasas. So do you say that each and every individual Jew who turned on the light, the weight is kind of chayla v'dam, has to bring a korban chasas? So the Mishnah says in Hori is that it depends. If the majority of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael violated the aver, then the Bez Nagal brings one chasas, a tar helam davar shel tibur, and that serves as a kapara for everybody who violated this aver. But if less than 50% of the Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael violated the Avera, then we say each and every individual person has to bring his own Korban Chatzis. Yochid Shasta Baharaz Beznech Chayv Chatzis. Yochid means less than the Rov. Whenever it's a miut, less than 50% of Klal Yisrael, Yochid Shasta Baharaz Beznech, even though it's not his fault. He turned on the light because the chief rabbinic, the Beznech Gadol, said it's Mutta. Mutta is Mutta. What is that to be Machma for? So the din says that nonetheless, even though it's not his fault, it's considered chil shabbos b'shegeg, or eating chaylev adam, a chomet b'tesel b'shegeg, and he's tried to bring a chatos. The only time he doesn't have to bring a chatos is if the roivat tzibur, the majority of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, violated this avera based on the psak of the Bez Nagadol, then the Bez Nagadol brings the parhal and dolashal tzibur. So normally, the Mishnah says in Zvachan, normally when you have a carbon tzibur, there's no smicha. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Vayikra that when a yochid brings a korban, it says, "Samach es yada al rosh apar." He has to lean his hands. He has to lean his hands on the animal. So the only one who can do smicha is the bala korban. No one else can do smicha. So the bala korban sends a check to Yerushalayim and he says, "Please bring a korban chatas on my behalf. I'm running around in New York, traveling to Lehi, get to Honolulu, to Hong Kong. He has no time to go to Beit Hamikdash." So the makar of the chatas on his behalf, but nobody does any smicha. The Mishnah said the smicha can only be done by the actual bala korban, the one who gets the kapar. And if he's not able to do smicha, then no one does the smicha. A korban tzibur, how can you have the whole klal Yisrael going to do smicha? So the Mishnah says in Zvachim that a korban tzibur doesn't have any smicha. There are three or four exceptions to the rule. There's two or three. Remember, the Mishnah lists of two or three or four exceptions to the rule. Well, you have a korban tzibur that does have smicha. But this is one of them. The par helam davishal tzibur. If the Reib HaTzibur violated an Aver Sheyesh Bo Koris because of a mistaken stock of the Bez Nagadol, and then the Bez Nagadol has to bring this Korban Tzibur to bring an atonement for everybody who violated this Avera, so then it says he needs Smicha. So who does this Smicha? Are you going to get all the Jews in the world to do this Smicha on the Korban? So it says in the Pasuk, the Ziknei Ho'edo, either three or five, Machlekes HaTanoim in the Mishnah, the first wide line on Beis HaMinhal, either three or five members of the Bez Nagadol should constitute a Bezn. They're not the Bezn. Bez Nagadol is 71 people. There's only a Bezn of three. So either three or five should constitute a Bezn. And their smicha, the Chumash says that when this Bezn does the smicha, that represents all the carbon. So it's considered as if the Bala carbon did the smicha. So they don't have any shaylos either. It's not a Bezn to pass in any shaylos. If there'll be any shaylos about the Pahal and Dovish of Tiba, about the Shechita and the Kabbalah, they don't have the right to pass. They don't have the right to pass. Yeah? They have to refer it back to the whole Bez Nagadol. Unless the big experts are there, they do have the right to pass. Okay, but just because they're the Bez to do the smicha doesn't give them the right to pass over the issue of Tovia and Shabbos. The role of the Bez of three or five who are doing the smicha is not really to pass in any shaylos. We hope no shaylos will come up. The same thing Medida Segla Rufa. Taisus points out, it says on the side to look in the Taisus, you dalad him an hour. The Taisus points out that it says in the Mishnah, Arifa Seglo is a machlaikas Rav Yudah Rav Shimon, we need a Bezna 3, a Bezna 5. The Taisus explains that you see based on the Gemara that the word Arifa is inaccurate. It's not really the Arifa that requires a Bezna 3 or 5 members of the Bezna Gadol. The Medida Segla Rufa, when you it says the Matzichol of Adoma, if you find a person murdered in Eretz Yisrael, a Jewish person murdered in Eretz Yisrael, so no dam ihiko, so you have to measure to the cities that are closest to the Haruk. Modu de la'ama shalfiva tacholo. So it says the Yashiv Genecha b'shaftecho. Either three or five members of the Bez Nagadol have to constitute a Bezin, and they have to do the Medida Segla Rufa. Then, in order to establish which city is the closest city to the Haruf, and which city is chayv to bring the Egla Rufa. Once they establish which city is chayv and Egla Rufa, they go home. That's what Taisus quotes, and you dial them up. They quote from the Mishnah in, there's a Perek Egla Rufa. And Masechet Sota, there's a whole Perek Egla Rufa. Disciple of Son, one year wrote a whole statement about Egla Rufa. Nachal Eitan. Interesting statement. On one Perek in Shasi, he wrote a whole statement. So the Tosfos quotes from the Mishnayot in Perek Egel Arufa. It says that the three of the five members of the Beis Magdal come, they measure, then Niftar is Zikta Yerushalayim Bahoch. They go back home to Yerushalayim, they go back home, and then Bahoch is Zikta Yerushalayim and Levi Egel Arufa. Then there's the Canaan from that city that was just determined as the lucky winner that they have to bring, that city has the obligation to bring the Egel Arufa. Then the Rabbanim from that city bring the Egel Arufa. But there is no din, there is no machlekes whether it's three or five. The machlekes three or five that the Mishnah is referring to is regarding the Medidas Egel Arufa. So the Medidas Egel Arufa also, it's not their job to paskin shaylus. There are some shaylus in Medidas Egel Arufa, whether you measure from the heart or from the neck or from the pulpit, whatever, different opinions in Tanaim. People to represent them to do the Medidas doesn't mean that they were authorized to paskin the shaylus. If they know how to learn, they can paskin. If they're not the best, if they're not the strongest men in the Beis Magdal, they'll have to call up the Beis Magdal. Ask them, what do they say about the issue? The role of the three of the five is just to do the act of Medina. It's a mitzvah day. So the Mishnah is talking about different kinds of batidina. The normal kind of bezin, what we're used to thinking of is a bezin that's going to pass Kenan Ashayla, either on Dina Mamas, or Dina Nefashis, or Malkus, or Gobrus. A psak, the bezin is going to give a psak. And then you have the other kind of the bezin, that the bezin just has the role of doing a mitzvah bezin. Something has to be done under the auspices of the death. But it's not really that they're going to be machriya any sakers. There's no shilas that they have to paskin. So these are the two types of batidinim that the Mishnah is going to speak of. Then it's just an interesting chiddush that you need a dozen of three or 23 to be done. Mamas and Nefashis, that person has a Shaila in Hilchot Shabbos and Hilchot Kashrus, and the laws of Taras HaMishpachi doesn't need 3, doesn't need 23. He asks his local Orthodox rabbi. If he doesn't know, then he asks his rabbi. So you have one Chacham who knows the halachas. So why do you need a Bezin of 3, a Bezin of 23 Bem? It's all things are Chiddush. Why do you need such an institution of a Bezin? Why don't you just go to the biggest, go to Rabbi Yashim? No, that's what everybody does. You go to Rabbi Yashim, you go to Rabbi Moshe in America, and now he passed away, so you go to Rabbi Yashim, and I'm a Rami. So that's it. So why do you ever need a Bez Nafri? So that's a Chiddush that the Torah says. That when it comes to Dine Nefashis, you don't just go to Esko Heruah Tisa the Hesed. Let a Chacham Paskin. No, you have to have a Psak of a Bez. So that and in Dina Mamun it's also, in Dina Knas it's also like that. It's not sufficient with the Hayruah of a Chacham. You have to have a Psak of a Bez. So that's what the Chumash tells us, that there's a Bez of 3 for Mamunis, and there's a Bez of 23 that's needed for Dina Nefash. However, there seems to be a difference between a Hayruah Tisa the Heter and a Psak of a Bez. We have a Din, just a Dugma, we have a Din that let's say I have a shaila in Issa Beheta. So yes, my father knows that chelik of Shulchan Aruch. My father is related to me, so how can I ask him? He's a korv, and the korv is pasul adun. Whoever's pasul adun is pasul adun. So the answer is no, that's only pasul to serve as a dayan. If you want to have a din Torah, but if there's no three, the korv is pasul to serve as a dayan. Even though he swears up and down he's going to be impartial, he's not going to favor his son, he's not going to favor his relatives, it doesn't matter. That's the pasuk that Krav Mapsulim Lahoid. And the Mishnah indeed assumes whoever is pasul Eidus is also pasul Lodun. But the paskin Issa the Heter, that he is kosher. A korav is kosher to paskin Issa the Heter. So why the discrepancy? So Lachorvit shows that there's a fundamental difference, not some that here it's enough with a Hayro of 1 and here you need a Hayro of 3. When it comes to Dina Mamis, he needs 3. Lachorvit shows some, there's a bigger difference. There's a bigger difference. However, what it seems to indicate, as Rav Soloveitchik suggested, what it seems to indicate is that when you have a chacham paskining, let's say someone has a shaila for Shabbos, or for Kashrus, or for Taras HaMishpacha, so when the chacham gives his opinion, he's not really paskining on this case. He's not really paskining for his son. He's paskining in abstract. If such a case should come up, the din would be like this. He's paskining in abstract. And even, let's say, if someone comes with a mare, and the shaila is in a maritomi, is a maritor for the purpose of the nido, he's not really paskining, the chacham is not really paskining on this particular instance.
you start getting an abstract. Whenever one has such a color, it's a maritami or it's a maritar, whatever he thought. It's really a stock and abstract. So therefore you can't say that a karev is possible. He's not a karev to anybody. Well, he's a karev to the Torah. He's the same chutz to the Torah that everybody else is. All of the Bnei Yisrael, I'm just one with the Torah. We're all mekabel the Torah. But he's not really tachning to me. Even though, let's say, I have a butcher shop, and they shech the behemoth for me, and if my father's going to pass him that it is a trafer, not a trafer, either he's going to save me $1,000, or I'm going to lose $1,000, or $5,000, whatever, lot kosher is $5,000, plain kosher is $1,000. So, it's going to be no gain, a lot of money to me. It doesn't matter, he's not really passing for me, he's not passing on this animal, he's passing an abstract. If such a case should come up, the din is that it's also, the din is that it's mut. It's an abstract psak. As opposed to a psak of a bezin, that's halacha. The psak of the bezin is chal on this particular instance. It's the case of din imamun is the bezin passes on this case. And once they pass in, the case is closed. The case is up kipaskin. The din in the foshin salta, the case is up kipaskin. It's not so much psak and abstract. So that's why we have halacha regarding the dayanim, the mamonis, and the nefashim that create them up to them lodun, because the psak is going to be chal on these people. The psak is chal on these people. There's a famous joke, halotze, that they say over the name of the Rebbe Rabbi Yonis and Eibishit, that he was once trying to explain the psychology, why is it that if there's a din Torah and the rabbi passes in favor of one baldin, as opposed to the other. The whole din Torah revolves about $5. The baldin who will lose the din Torah will be forever an enemy of the rabbi. He'll hate the rabbi forever because he's passing against him at $5. But if there's a shaylan of behemah, whether it's chayfa or not, and it's an issue of $5,000, let's say, and the rabbi talks with chayfa, so the butcher will accept the stock and he won't be angry at the rabbi. Why not? But here he's mastered him $5,000, there he's only mastered him $5. The stockman is more angry over here, and there he's not angry at all. So they say in the name of the Rebbe Rabbi Yonison, he said jokingly, he said, when the rabbi passed me the favor of the other baldin, I'm not so angry that I'm losing $5. I'm prepared to lose $5,000 also, but my enemy wins the $5,000, that's what bothers me. The rabbi passed me in favor of the Satcha Keneged, that's what rubs me the wrong way. So when he passed me the animal of the traitor, there is no Satcha Keneged. It's not that he's favoring the other side. But that's how they say in the name of Rabbi Yonison Eibishit. That's what that printed in his the official biography. So Leitchik picked up on that theme, and he said he thinks that halachically there's a difference. He thinks that by the case of the trefer, the rabbi doesn't really paskin on my day, he's just paskining an abstract. Hayrati to the head is an abstract. So the baldin is not going to be angry at the rabbi. He didn't paskin on his day, he paskin an abstract, that this is halacha. But in the din Torah, the stock of the bezin always is on this case. The rabbi paskins ish ploni atachai, ish ploni atazakai. That's what the Gemara says later. Echidami Gemara Din. What's called the Gemara Din? The Gemara and after Vama Vendei says, Gemara says, Ishfloni Atachai, Ishfloni Atazakai. That's called the Gemara Din. That's because Abezdin and Dina Mammon is in, and Dina Nefash is Paskins on the case, and the case is closed. The case is not Gepaskin. That's why Karv is Pasol Ladun in Abezdin. But the Karev is not possible to paskin in each of the heads. It's not really paskining for his son, just paskining an abstract.
Doesn't say in your day that if you ask a chacham and you pass mishpah, you can't just go to another rabbi.
Right. So on Shulchan Aruch it says, Tagimari, Zigmar Nabodeh Zorah, Chacham Shoasar, El Chaveh Rashoy Lahati. That if a rabbi paskin l'chumre, then no one else is allowed to paskin l'chumre. So they give different reasons in Shulchan Aruch for that din. They don't say the obvious reasons. Because the case is up kipasin. No, they don't say that. That's in Dini Mammonis. When you have a bezin, so the case is closed. Let's say you live in the generation where the ktois and the nesivus were both alive. And there's an issue where the ktois develops the whole thing and he gives his opinion, and the nesivus develops this thing and he gives his opinion. So you go to the, you fell in, you went to the ktois and bezin, they paskin against you. So then what are you going to go to? The nesivus bezin, they'll paskin the other way. Farfam, once the ktois and bezin paskin, is up kipaskin, unless the nesivus can demonstrate that it says that he made a mistake. If he's prepared to accept that he made a mistake, then his mother's going to have long discussions. How do you know that it's really a mistake? Maybe the first way was correct. Who says the second way is a mistake? That's going to be, that's the famous sugya. That's the most famous sugya, a complicated sugya. When does the bezin have a right to withdraw their psak because they declare that they made a mistake, and when do they not have a right to withdraw from them? So, in the case of a Bezdin, that Tatkan and Mammas and Nefashis, we say the case is closed. It's not Shach to bring up the case to another Bezdin. The Bezdin gave it stock in the case. And these are the Heter, Chacham Sha'asar, El Chadeira, Shoel HaHatir, the Rishonim give different side reasons why not. They say Shach Yanav Shechatiches in Surah, or they give other reasons why, because you should quote a Shal Chacham Rishon, the second Chacham is not allowed to be Mevazah the first Chacham. That's right, they don't say the most obvious reason because the case is closed already. No, it's not true, the case is really not closed. So the psak of the first rabbi wasn't really a psak on this case. It was really a psak in abstract. Psak and not the same. Yes, that's a pasuk that we learn out from Sukkim that you need a bezin by Nefoshes, a bezin of 23, and a bezin by Malkus, and a bezin by Knas.
So there's a pasuk that is not the pasuk
There's a din later, there's going to be coming up a whole sugi on that Vava Medalis and Vava Meshay about Pshara. So in Shulchan Aruch, Pshara means a compromise. So Pshara doesn't really mean a compromise the way a lot of people think. He says that I owe $100,000 and I say I owe zero, so he says we'll make a Pshara and I can pay $50,000. That's not a Pshara. Pshara is supposed to be a psak according to the klolim of Yoshe. There's a psak of halacha, according to the rules of regulation of din, and then there's a psak of lifnei mishuras hadin. What does Yoshe dictate? So the bezin is not supposed to listen to both parties that's divided in half. That's not a pshara. That's not a compromise. That's not a pshara though. You have to listen to the case and judge in their minds what do they think Yoshe dictates. They don't have to be learned at all. They just, a lot of times you have arbitration that raise people in the diamond business, people in other and businesses. They have arbitration panels. Who are mumchim, they know what the minigamdina, they know what the Yosha dictates. This is an improper practice, this is a proper practice. So Pshara should be a psak of Yosha. So they write in Chosha Mishpat when they have, so the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. Is it permissible to have a Pshara? So one time it says it's forbidden. Torah gives you a whole Chosha Mishpat, Torah gives you all the demons. And that's Ibis Adin, to establish a Bezna 3 to get a stock of a Pshara. What are you talking about? It's against the halacha. Ibis Adin. So Arthur looks to it, but didn't. Then another time it says, Mutter, it's permissible, optional. If you want, you can go for Pshara. If you want, you can go for Din. And we talk in Mitzvah Lipsoa, that is preferable. All the three opinions in Tanoim appear on God on the day, so long to Sefka, Imar Kos, all the Tanoim. So we talk in that it's really preferable, it's a Mitzvah Lipsoa. It's a mitzvah to go lifnei mishuras hadin. Lifnei mishuras hadin is not only in kashrus and in shabbos and taras hamishpacha. Lifnei mishuras hadin is in dinim aminus also. Not only shouldn't I steal someone else's money outright, I shouldn't even do dakas dikagezel. So if Yosha dictates that he's entitled to the money, even though halacha says I'm entitled to the money, if Yosha dictates that he's entitled, so I should really go lifnei mishuras hadin. But you're not kaifa on this. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's what it says in the Chosha Mishpat. But you're not kaifa the person. Let's say the person refuses to go for pshara. He says, I want din or nothing. He wants din or he's going to the secular court. So you have to make up stock of din. We should encourage him, we should coax him, we should cajole him into agreeing to a pshara. But if he doesn't agree, we can't force him into the pshara. So the shaila is, and if he did agree to the pshara, and then it says he issues a stock of pshara. So it says, the Chosha Mishpat, the siman of pshara, says, the pshara is the real stock of a din. The prohibition of taking shaykhat applies. You're not allowed to give shaykhat, neither party is allowed to give any shaykhat. The prohibition of hatoyach mishpat applies, nosata mishpat. Let's say, I know in my heart that Yosha dictates that he's right. But he's religious and he's not religious. He's a rabbi, he's not a rabbi. He's a wealthy balabot, he gives a lot of tzedakah, he's an adam nichbot, whatever. So under the circumstances, I'm going to pass in favor of his favor, even though he's not really right. So it says in the Tur, writes this, and it's quoted in Chayesh Mishpat also, that all of the prohibitions of Din Torah, the prohibition of Sheichad, and prohibition of Hatoyas Mishpat, and all of the Dinim apply to a Din Torah of Shor as well. It's really a Din Torah. But instead of being a Din Torah of Din, it's a Din Torah of Lifnei Mishuras HaDin. The Dezen is supposed to task him according to what their understanding of Yosha dictates. What do they think Yosha dictates in this case? So the question is, if he can't force the Baal Din into agreeing to a Pshara, it has to be with his approval, with his agreement, even if he agrees to the Pshara, and then he hears the good news. They said the Pshara is, I remember we once had a Din Torah here in the Yeshiva, two Baal Dinim came from Fairlawn, New Jersey. The rabbi didn't want to task him because they're both Baal Dinim in his shul. So he brought them to the Yeshiva on one Sunday, and then we picked the first three rabbis that we bumped into. It's the same. You go to any Yeshiva, pick any three rabbis, they'll give you the same shot. All the Dinim Torah are all the same. I don't know why people waste so much time to determine which Bezin is going to decide the case. He goes, pick any three Tamidah Chachamim in the world. They're going to give you, basically they're going to give you the same stuff. Unless someone is bought off, unless they gave Sheikha to someone. So if they didn't give Sheikha, the answer is always going to come out the same. It's very obvious. So they were so they had a case, they had a Din Torah, it was some kind of a deal, $2 million real estate in California. And the Bezin decided, first we convinced them that they should go for Pshara, not the Din. We explained what Pshara means, and then when we heard the whole case, so he passed in 100% in favor of one Baal Din, he gets the $2 million, the other guy gets zero. That was the Pshara. That was the Din, and that was the Pshara. The Din was like that, and the Yosha dictated like that. The other guy was not entitled. He thought he was the Baal Din. He thought that he was entitled. But the outsider, the impartial outsiders, the three members of the Bezin, thought that he wasn't entitled. That I'll be Din, and that I'll be Yosha either. So Pshara doesn't mean at all that you just divided in half. Pshara means that Bezin is supposed to really give an honest assessment of the situation. What do they think Yosha dictates in this case? Often Yosha will be in contradiction to the Din. So the question is, when we tell the Baal Din the good news, that the Pshara is that you have to give him the $2 million and you get zero, so what's to prevent it from saying, I don't want to go along with the Pshara? You can't, it says the Chayesh Mishpat, you can't force a person into a Pshara. Even if the Bezin already gave the Pshara, so let him say, I don't want to go along. So the Gemara and the Avraham and Aleph talks about the fact when you have a Pshara, you have to make a Kabbalah of Kibbutz. The Bezin gives a handkerchief to this party, and gives a handkerchief to that party, and they say, we want you to accept this handkerchief and to agree to the Pesach of the Bezin. So you could say, Tosfos rejects this, you could have said, perhaps, that when he accepts the Kabbalah of Kibbutz, when he takes the handkerchief, he's misguided himself to pay whatever the Bezin will ask him for. If the Bezin says he has to give the other guy the $2 million, so be it. Even if it's his money, he just obligated himself to give the money to the other party. So Tosfos thinks that that's not the right answer. Tosfos says that the Kabbalah of Kinyan by the Pshara is not to bind him to give the $2 million to the other guy. The Kabbalah of Kinyan is just to demonstrate that he's in agreement with he agrees to establish the Bezin for Pshara. You can't establish a Bezin for Pshara Bal Karcha. You can't be Kaifa a person into subjecting himself to a Pesach of Pshara. But he agreed, so we want to make a Kabbalah Kinyan as a demonstration that he's really agreed, to show that he's masking to the Bezin B'Leif Shalom. But the reason why the Pesach of the Bezin is binding is not because of the Kabbalah Kinyan. So why is it binding? Let him say later on, I changed my mind. So the Beit Yosef in Chayesh Mishpat and the Siman of Pshara is in the Chav Beis, I think. Forgot away where it is. Siman Yud Beis of Chayesh Mishpat. So the Beit Yosef in Chayesh Mishpat quotes the Tshuvas HaRosh. That the Rosh has an expression, he's explaining why the Pesach of the Pshara is binding. The Rosh writes, Beidina basa beidina loy daiki. That's the expression in the Russian. That's an expression that appears in the Gemara and Yevamos in a different context. The Gemara and Yevamos talks like this. When the Bezin supervises a Chalitza, the Chalitza has to be done by the surviving brother of the Nifter. What is Chalitza? Yeshach Miyachta Meitha Chadmehem. The man is married and he dies leaving no children, no descendants, no grandchildren, nothing. He has no children, not from this wife, not from any other wife. So the din is that the brother of the nifter has to be a brother from the father's side. He's only half brother from the mother's side. He's not qualified to do chalitza. Unless he does not have any brothers from the father's side, so you don't need any chalitza. Okay? Only for chalitza is only if there's a brother from the father's side. The preferable is that the Bezdin should ascertain in advance that this is the brother of the nifter, and then they should do this, then they should supervise the chalitza. And then they write the shtar chalitza. Then they write, the Gemara calls it a get chalitza, shtar chalitza. And the Bezdin writes a document that he gives to the Yavona that she's permitted to remarry because he supervised the chalitza and everything was done properly. So normally, the Bezdin will ascertain in advance that the man who came to perform the chalitza was Achud and Nisnam and Abba. He was the brother of the Nifter from the father, either full brother or half brother from the father's side. Would we allow a Bezdin to supervise a chalitza when they don't know? The man comes and he says, I want to do chalitza. The Bezdin says, who are you? He says, he's the brother of the Nifter. He said, we never heard of you before. Let's say, Dibama, no, does not, whatever. So the Gemara says, we require outside corroboration. Menater is really enough if he himself says that he is the brother of the man. There's such a similar din in Gittin. Menater is that a man and a woman come, they say they want to get divorced. So the husband authorized the Seifa to write a get, they write a get, they give the get shot. How do you know that he's the husband who's giving a get to his wife? Maybe he's the boyfriend who wants to marry the wife. And he comes and he makes believe that he's the husband, Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz, and he's giving a get to his wife. Then he goes to another rabbi. He says, oh, his wife has a tour. She has a document that her husband divorced her. He's going to marry her. Maybe he's a fake, and maybe he's the boyfriend who says that he's the husband. So then I'll tell you the din is that he's them. And the Rabbana, they required Hakar, you have to have at least an Eidecho, someone else should identify who he is. The Gemara says in Masechus Gittin that it's the big Shas HaTzchak they used to have in the days of the Romans. They used to throw Jews in prison and torture them to death and so on. So the Mishnah has in Gittin, Adav Samachov, Misha Hoya Mushlok Bebor. Someone's in a dungeon and I hear a voice, he's screaming out, I don't see him. He says, my name is so and so, I live in such and such a city, my wife's name is so and so, please give a get to my wife. I don't know how long, I don't know if I'm going to live, if I'm going to die, I may be here forever. Do me a favor, give my wife a gift. So the Mishnah says, Apo Pishay Makiris, even though you don't know who he is, maybe he's a faker. Probably not a faker. He's in a dungeon. What's he going to fake now? He's going to make believe that he's someone else. So the Gemara asked Akash, I, but the Halacha requires you have to have a karma fi, a dechot, someone else. The Gemara said, Bishat Atzchak, you have no brere, so you revert back to the Zindera. That's how the Ksoit explains that to me. That in a Torah, there's no requirement for outside Hakor, it's only the Rabbanon. Bishat HaTzchak can revert back to the mirror. So the same is true regarding Chalitza. That Min HaTorah, a man comes and he says, I am the Yavam. This happens sometimes. You don't always know who the Yavam is. There was rather a case, a man committed suicide. And he was just married, and he committed suicide. And his wife needed Chalitza. So they were so embarrassed to do the Chalitza. And that city, they lived in Zurich. So they went to London. So no one knew who they were. No one knew, they didn't know the Yavam, they didn't know the Yavam. So how are you going to have Hakara? So there's a whole eight to count. So on the Paskim, in the state of Beit Hillel, the Tzitz Chetshuva course, in the state of Beit Hillel, on Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, there was once a case that a man came, and he said, I'm the brother of the Nifter, and he's prepared to do Chalitza. And he had traveled from a distance to come to this Bezin to do the Chalitza. No one knew how to identify him. And there was no way, there's no photo ID. Should have had our guards, they would know how to identify him. No photo ID. No one knew, no one in the whole city knew who he was. So the Beit Hillel writes that the Shas HaTzchak, you have no prayer. So you'll perform the Chalitza based on his own sefer. Maybe he's the boyfriend who wants to marry the Yavama and he's taking it and he says that he's someone who's going to go to a different Bezin and get married later on. So if it's a big Shas HaTzchak, you see, no Shas HaTzchak, you fax a photo ID, you fax something, call someone up on the phone. Call somebody up on the phone, you can find out whether he's authentic or not. Call up the rabbi, he lives in that city, you'll find out. Call short, fat, skinny, what does he look like, how does he talk, how does he pronounce English, how does he not speak, you can find out who he is. But years ago, they had no telephone, they had no fax machine, so it's very hard to identify. So if you have a big Shas HaTzchak, so you revert back to the dinder, right? You can do the chalitza without any hakara mitiachir. But l'chatchila, in the Rabbana, we require hakara mitiachir. And the Gemara says the hakara is sufficient if it's eid echad. You don't require two eidim to say that he is the brother of the Yavam from the father.
Achud the Nisim and Abba, even at Echod, even Afilu Isha, Afilu Ezed, Afilu Shivcha, even if an Eid Echod is not kosher, Eid Echod is also good to do. So the Gemara says that it's not really right that the Bezel should perform the Chalitza unless Eid Echod attained in advance that this is the brother of the Nisim. So there's a discussion in the Gemara. What if it's not that difficult to ascertain that he... We don't have the documentation right now. So we want to know, is it permissible to do the Chalitza now? And we're not going to write in the document that we have ascertained that he was the brother. We should really write, we have not ascertained. The Bezer should let them do the Chalitza. And write, we have not ascertained that the one who did the Chalitza was the brother of the Nifter. And that has to be ascertained. We just know that if he's the brother of the Nifter, they did the Chalitza properly, and we let someone else try to ascertain that he is his brother. It should have been like that. So the Gemara has a discussion, would we permit the Bezin to perform a Chalitza, and they should write such a document, that's not going to say one way or the other, not going to say we have not ascertained. It's not going to say in big letters, we have not ascertained. We don't know whether it's the right person. But it's also not going to say we have ascertained. So are we choshish le Bezin toys? Are we afraid that the later Bezin may make a mistake? Obviously, the woman has a tour. So it says that she did the Chalitza, so she's allowed to remarry. But the Ptur doesn't say that the ascertain that he's the brother of the Nifter. So are we afraid the later Bezin will not pick this up, will not pick up the fact that the first Bezin never wrote in the documents, in the Get Chalitza, in the Ptur, they never wrote Ishtamoydinu, Ikanu, that we identified him. So this is a machlekes in the Gemara. Is the Bezin allowed to do a Chalitza if they don't, they haven't established, they haven't recognized, that they haven't established that he's really the brother of the Nifter? Are we choshish le Bezin toyer? Are we afraid the later Bezin will make a mistake? So the Gemara has an expression there, one opinion in Gemara, we are afraid they'll make a mistake because they dina, basa they dina loy daiki. The later Bezin is not going to check the credentials of the earlier Bezin. First Bezin did a Chalitza, and we wrote a document, we did the Chalitza, which is without a remarry. So the later Bezin is not going to question it, they're not going to ask any questions. They have a document that's signed by the three members of the Bezin, so they're going to assume that everything was done properly. So in the original context in the Gemara, that's what that phrase means. Beidina, Vasa Beidina, Loi Daiki. A later Bezin will not check up on an earlier Bezin. They'll assume the earlier Bezin did what they were supposed to do. And even though it doesn't say in the document that we have identified that he was the brother of the minister, the later Bezin may make a mistake and assume that the earlier Bezin had established this Akara, and there's no need for any more identification later on. Let's say they have a photograph of the man doing the Chalitza with the woman. And then they'll say, this man did the Chalitza with the woman. And they don't say one way or the other whether we have established that he is the brother of the Nitzvah. If they would write in big letters, and we don't know if he's the right brother, check into it, this is what he looks like, this is what she looks like, and find out whether, if they write that, there's no problem. They wrote exclusively, we don't know if he's the brother. But it looks funny if they write that. What if they write a Get Chalitza Stama and they didn't write that? So the original expression that appears in the Gemara, Beidina, Bas Beidina, Loi Daiki, is in that context. That the later Bezin is not going to be Mizdayik, they're not going to check the existence of the earlier Bezin to see whether they did right or wrong. They'll assume that they did right, just like we think we're doing things right. In the Talmud, they'll assume the earlier Bezin did right. But the Rosh uses this Malitza, in the Tshuvas HaRosh, that the Kirsu quotes in Choshimish, but Simon Yudbeis, he uses that expression, that Malitza from the Gemara, in a different context. He's explaining why the Pesach of the Bezin by a Pshara is binding. The fellow agreed to go for Pshara. He agrees to go to the Fnei Mishur Tzedin. Then when he hears the good news that he has to give up $2 million, he says, I changed my mind. I want this. I don't want Pshara. He may lose on a level of din also. But let's say if he says, I don't want to go for this Pshara story. I want to have a din. So what's to prevent him from backing out later on? So the Rosh uses this expression, Beidina Basa Beidina Loi Daki. It doesn't mean the same in the Rosh as it means in the Gemara. So what does the Rosh mean? So the Rosh probably means this idea. Once a Bezin issues a Psak, sometimes Bezin has no right to issue a Psak. Let's say I have a Sichtuch with you, and then three guys come over and they give a Psak. I didn't ask him, you didn't ask him, nobody asked him to give a Psak. Three rabbis with long beards walk in, and they give a Psak. We didn't ask him to give a Psak. But that's unauthorized. They're not the local Bezin, they have a right to force a Psak down everybody's throat. We didn't invite them to Paskin on our case. So that's not fine. But the Shaila is over here. Even if we agreed to go to the Bezin for Pshara, and they gave a Psak, so why is it binding? Let the fellow who lost on the level of Pshara say, I changed my mind, I want to go for this.
That's what the Rosh writes. No, once you have a psak of a bezin on the case, the Rosh is assuming that Pshor is a psak of a bezin. It's not some compromise. It's not some arbitration. It's a psak of a bezin. That's why it says in the Tur in Chesh Mishvah, there's an Isra of Lasat and Mishvah, and there's an Isra of Sheikhah. And there's a din, if the psak of the Pshor is absolutely ridiculous, so then just like there's a klal of psak in a real din Torah, if it's a toibet va Mishnah, if the bezin is toibet va Mishnah, so it's chayzer, so the whole psak falls apart. So Rabbi Kivege quotes in Achreinim, I'm Chosh Mishpah, Rabbi Kivege Chosh Mishpah quotes in Achreinim, that Toibet Va Mishneh Choyzer applies to a Pshara also. This is a very famous Rabbi Kivege. You have, whenever you go for a Din Torah, so they always encourage you to go for Pshara, and then the Bezin will give a Pshara. So the guy who lost the Din Torah will always go to some other cook at the Zion, and he'll always write a whole document saying that the first Bezin stock is not binding. I bet they gave a Pshara. It's a Toibet Va Mishneh. The stock was so wrong, the pshara. How can a pshara be? It's very rare. How can a pshara be a toibet va mishneh? Very rare. But that's the way these fake dayanim will do it. For a little money, they'll do anything. So I'll write a whole long tshuva to explain why the first bezin was a toibet va mishneh and a pshara. That's very hard. Because once in a while, it's possible. Absolutely not yoshadim, the stock that the bezin is. Absolutely not yoshadim. Not that some people have a different perspective on life. No normal person would ever say like that. But there's a rule that Toibet Va Mishneh Choyzer even applies to a psak of a pshara. The pshara is really a psak. It's not a psak of din, it's a psak of Nisnim Mishra Sadin. And the reason why it's binding, the fellow can't back out, and it's not binding, Tosin says on Vav Manal, it's a long Tosin. It's not binding because of the Kabbalah's Kinyan. No, the Kabbalah's Kinyan is just to indicate that it's Balei Shalom that he's Maskim to the Pshar, but once he authorized the Bezin, they both authorized the Bezin to give a Pshar of a Pshar on the case. Once the Bezin gives a Pshar of Pshar on the case, then the case is closed. That's Halacha. Bezin passes on the case. As opposed to Hairoah, he said they had to Hairoah just an abstract. It's not really on the case. But a Pshar of a Bezin is Chal on the case. So the case is closed after they give the Pshar of the Pshar. I mean, do the Bnei Noach have a mitzvah to have a pshara? There is a discussion later on that daf on Nunvav. The Gemara talks about tzedokin. The Gemara says that the one opinion is that the Bnei Noach are mechuyev in tzedokin. So there, the Ran has two pshat. And what is tzedokin? Tzedokin means to donate charity to the poor, or tzedokin means pshara. If it's to give charity to the poor, it's an additional mitzvah. It's not only it's an additional mitzvah over and above. So some Rishonim say, no, these Nochrim are not obligated to give charity, but the Pasuk, the Gemara quotes lots of Tzedakah Mishpah, the word Tzedakah there means Pshara, that the non-Jews have that mitzvah as well. There is a discussion there, on the Nunvav, in the Chiddush HaRan, whether Bnei Noach have the mitzvah of Pshara or not. So where does this basic idea come from that a bezin of three is necessary for dealing ominous? So the Gemara on Beis on the day says the original source is by Gzelus v'Chavolos. It doesn't really say by Hoidoes v'Halvoes. The Gemara divides all cases of dealing ominous into two categories. One category is called Gzelus v'Chavolos. The other category is called Hoidoes v'Halvoes. What's exactly the difference in definition? It means this is violence and this is non-violence. Zeilus HaChavolos is violence. What's the definition? Remember, Rav Soloveitchik thought the definition is that he thought that these two terms, Zeilus HaChavolos as opposed to Hadolus HaChavolos, he thought that these are identical to the two concepts that appear in the Gemara, in Ksubis and in many other materials. The Milva HaKsubah BaTorah as opposed to Milva Sheinik Ksubah BaTorah. Sometimes there's a Chiyuv Mamon that the Torah imposes upon you. Chayiv al Mazik is the Milva HaKsuv about the Tzidkinah Ben, the Torah imposes upon you. And then sometimes there's an obligation, you accept it upon yourself. You went shopping in the store, you bought merchandise, so you have to pay. Or you borrowed $100,000, you have to pay back. That's the Hizkaivis Nidat. The one is called the Milva HaKsuv about the Torah, means the Torah imposes the Chayiv. And the other one, Tosfos and Ksubis points out, it says in the Chumash also that when you borrow money, you have to pay back. But we would have known it on our own even if it wouldn't have been written in the Chumash. That's why that's called the Milva She'enet Ksuvah Batorah. Even if it weren't written, we would have known on our own because that's the Hizkaivis Nidah.
The halacha distinguishes, with respect to various dinim, the halacha distinguishes between these two categories of mammon. But maybe Bnei Neder tomorrow we'll continue on this theme. Usually on Thursdays we do parsha, that's because we've done so much gemara. So we hardly did any gemara today. But the davening mincha too is a theme, so we'll go down. So maybe next week on Monday we'll do parsha for those who have nothing better to do on Monday. I think officially Monday there's no school. So whoever wants to learn, we'll do parsha.
Three different things.
We started three different, started a lot of things, but we started three specific things that we didn't finish. Maybe we'll go back to them. The Gemara says that there are cases when in Atara you require Muchim, and with the Rabbanan we are Mako, and you don't need Muchim. That's the question, whether it's with the Rabbanan or Minatara. We mentioned that the Mesivis, the Simen Aleph, the Kotan Aleph and Chashanish, but close to Machlokes between Tesis and the Rashba, whether the concept of Shlichus Dayu is the right of the Rabbanan. Shlichus Dayu is an expression that appears in the Gemara in two different places. You have it here, the Tesis on Gimel Amid Aleph, Tesis on Gimel Amid Aleph, quotes in the middle of that book, Tesis Shalotin Al Delet. The Tesis quotes from Baba Kama Daf Tei Dalet Amid Beis. You see in parentheses, Baba Kama Tei Dalet Amid Beis. They quote the expression from Baba Kama, Di Abdino Shlichus Dayu the Goyim Moisim Bebogo. The Gemara says, Hoidoes Vahavoyes, Meikir Adin, you really need Shloshes Muchim. And the Yameko in Bavel, that is sufficient with Shloshes Hediyotis. That we, the Rabbanim in Bavel, are Shlichus Dayu, the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, of the Smuchim. And then the Rishonim add on that we today, in a generation where there are no Smuchim at all in the world, we are Shlichus Dayu Kamo Yavdin. We are the Shluchim of those who used to be the Smuchim from years ago in Eretz Yisrael. That's the one Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Tei Dalet, that the ability to be done Hoidos Bavos in Manazeh without Smuchim is Mitam Shlichus Dayu. The other Gemara is in Gittin, the bottom Taisa someday, someday, quote Gittin Daf Techev. But the Gemara says that Abai was a student of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef once forced a man to give his wife a get in accordance with the Dinim in the Mishnah. That the Mishnah could say that sometimes the halacha says that the Bezdin has a right to force the husband to give a get by beating him up, and sometimes the Bezdin has a right to pressure him by insulting him in public, and sometimes they just try to coax him, and sometimes not even that. Different cases. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef was forcing someone, was beating someone up to give a get. So his student Abai, yes, and Akasha, but it says, Eva Mishpatim, she taught him with Nehem, with Nehem, Lola Snehav Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef didn't have Smicha, that's why he's called Rabbi Yosef. If he would have had Smicha, he would have been called Rabbi. He was only a Reverend. Rabbi Yosef, he didn't have Smicha, he was only a Rabbi Yosef. That's what I said, but if a person's name is Rebbe, means that he has Smicha. His name is Rab, means that he doesn't have Smicha. That's what Rab means. Tosfos points out in a few places that there were four different people. There was Rav Ami v'Rav Asi and Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi were good friends and they lived in Bogos. They didn't have any smicha. They were reverend. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi were good friends and they both had smicha. They both lived in Eretz Yisrael. There were four different people. So here also, Rav Yosef didn't have any smicha. So Abai asks him, how do you have a right to force someone to give a get? He says, Allah Mishpat HaMishatot Malasneim, Lelasneim, Lelasneim Adiotos, that you're not allowed to be koifer. Only a Bezus Muchim has the right to be koifer. So Rav Yosef says, and how do you think we have the right to be done Hoidos Malvos? The answer is, Anash Lichosai Kravdina. We act as the Shluchim of those who have Smicha. And Eretz Yisrael, so too, with respect to Kziya, with respect to the right to force people to give a get, we also apply the principle of Shlichosai Kravdina. And those are the two Gemaras. In our Gemara, the Gemara has the din, but it doesn't give the terminology. It doesn't have the expression. The Gemara says, "Ben Atari you need Shloshes Muchim and Midir Rabbanan." Just like they would make that you don't need Rish Lachakira, so they would make that you don't need Smuchim. They don't use the expression. The expression appears in the other two Gemaras. Anan Shlichosai Kavdim. So the first receiver from Chayshim Mishpat quotes that there's a Machlokes Tesis in the Rashba, whether this din of Shlichosai was a din Ben Atari or it's only a Takana Midir Rabbanan. The Machlokes is regarding Khalid, Gerut. The Gemara says in Yevamos that when you accept a Ger, you have to have a Bezdin of Shloisha present at the top. And this Gar Ben Ola Ben Atzma is not a good Ger. If a non-Jew takes his mal himself and he goes into the mikveh by himself,
and he reads and he studies Judaism all by himself and he becomes a ger on his own, so the halacha says that it's not a good ger. It's not a valid ger. The halacha requires that you have to have a bez. So the Tosis poses the question, if you need a bezin, he probably needs three smuchim, because the bezin needs not just three people, he needs three smuchim. By Chalitza, there's a pasuk that indicates that three hadyotas are good, that they don't have to be smuchim even, not only because of shmuchim, but even when they were smuchim all over the place, you didn't need smuchim. That's the first nish, then teresh nish was Chalitza. But over here, by Geirah, says they don't think there is a pasuk one way or the other, so the pasuk is that if you need a bezin, you need a bezin of shloshim smuchim. So how do we, the Bali Atesis, have the ability, this man is that, to accept Geirin? Nobody has any smicha today. So Tesis says, with a straight face, shlicha zayin. But the Rajma says, shlicha zayin? Shlicha zayin is a takana of the Rabbana. Shlicha zayin works in Didi Mamanis, where the bezin always has the ability to declare hefke bezin hefke. They can take your money and give it to the other person. So they can say, we're going to put together a make-believe bezin of shlosha hadyotas, which is nothing on the level of their right, it's meaningless. And the Rabbanan, we say, Hefke Bezna Hefke, like all the Takonas, the Rabbanan in the area of Dini Mamanis. But what right do you have to be Makabu Geirin? What are you going to say, Menatera, he's really a Nochri, and the Rabbanan, he's Jewish. There is no such thing as a Geir Mid Rabbanan. Either he's a Geir Menatera, he's not a Geir at all. So the Rajbod disagrees with Tesis, and he says, when the Gemara learned that from the Tosh, he said, you need Shloisha. Geir Tosh Shloisha, to be Makabu Geir, you need a Bezna 3. They never required in the first place Smucha. All you need are three people. And it can be three hadyotas. The same as by Chalitza. Okay. So the question, what's that machlokes? What's that issue as to whether, what's the nature of the din of smicha? Why the Rajba thinks that even though the pasuk indicates that you need a bezin of shlosha, but the shlosha don't have to be smuchim at all. And why do Tosfos think that the bezin of shlosha smuch, the bezin of shlosha for geirus has to be smuch? That seems to be a machlokes. The Rajba in Tosfos, what's the nature of smicha? Whether smicha is a din of bezin? Smicha is a din of paskinim. Tosfos seems so that smicha is a din of bezin. Any time you need a bezin, you need smicha. Unless you have a pasuk to indicate otherwise, like by Chalitza. By Geirus, you don't have a pasuk to indicate one way or the other. But if the pasuk says you need a bezin of shlosha, it's automatic. It's self-understood that the shlosha have to be smuchim, because smicha is always a din of bezin. The Rajbora seems to hold, perhaps otherwise, that smicha is not a bezin. This is a din in paskening, whenever you have to pasken something, so then you need to, okay, we'll have to talk about that. But there's another machlekes over here that the Mesivis points out, whether the din of Shmir Hussari was their right to their Rabban. So the Rajbo holds that the whole tokif, the whole validity, the whole value of the institution of Shmir Hussari is only with the Rabban, and it's based on the mechanism, how does it work, is Hefke Bezna Hefke? Like all takonis the Rabban in the area of Din Mominis are based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. That's how the Gemara says in Yibam, it's another place. And the Raj, and the Tosfos Shita is not so. Tosfos Shita is that Shlicha Tzai was a Din Darais, a workman at Torah. How can it work men at Torah? How can Shlicha Tzai work men at Torah? That is the Tshuva Sachas Am Sefer, we have this Kasha. How can Shlicha Tzai work men at Torah? Let's say there's a Koyin who's lazy to go Duchen. So he'll send a Yisrael to go Duchen for him. But the Kohen is lazy to go to the Beit HaMikdash and be makul kabon. So he'll send a non-Kohen. He'll make him a shliach. So it works. He can make someone up. I have the qualifications. I have the genes or whatever. I'm a Kohen. I'm a bona fide Kohen. I'm going to send a non-Kohen that he should be makul in the kabonis for me. So you can make a shliach. How can you make a non-Kohen a shliach to do him for you to be makul kabonis? And even if the hakan the smuchim appoint the non-smuchim a shluchim that they should act on their behalf, to be done dine Torah on every essence. And even if such a thing were possible, well, what's the din if the Mishaleah died already? Let's say a man appoints a shliach to deliver a get to his wife, and then the husband dies, and the shliach delivers a get after the husband dies. So the Mishnah in the first parak in Gittin says that if the Mishaleah dies, the woman is an almana, she's not going to be a grusha. There are differences in Allah between an almana and a grusha. Grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen, and almana is allowed to marry a kohen. So if the shliach goes and he delivers a get after the Mishaleah dies, once the Mishaleach died, the Shlich is his pocket. So how do the Rishayim say, this man, just like this man, HaGemara, the Talmid HaChamim in Bogol, acted as Shluchim on behalf of the Shluchim in Eretz Yisrael. This man is there no Shluchim alive in the world at all. And now Shlich, aside the Kavoy, Kravdina. We are still the Shluchim of those people who died 1,000 years ago. How can you Shlich have a Mishaleach who died 1,000 years ago? There's something very strange going on over here. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Chassam Sefer develops an idea that really Rav Soloveitchik pointed out says in the Kedusha Arab on the first daf in Sanhedrin. So the Iran has it better than the Sanhedrin. The Rambam explains it better. Usually the Achronim explain things better than the Rishonim. Here the Rambam explains very well. So the Rambam has a long arichas in the name of the Ramban, I think. The Rambam explains that there are two dinim in smicha. The halacha that requires smuchim has two parts to it. Here this bottom tesis, based on the day, is bothered with a kashi. Whether you saw the tesis or not, I'll tell you about that. The Gemara says that the bottom tesis on based on the base of boy not even. The tesis is bothered with a problem. How come we have two psukim that teach us the same thing? The Gemara says in Gittin that Abaye saw that his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, was beating a man up to give his wife a gift. It was Ma'asa Gittin. He was forcing the husband to give a gift. So Abaye asked him a question, are you allowed to do that? So Abaye said, Pasik, so there, that Mishpatim Ashatasim, Lefneim, 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 Yosef. That there's an Isser on the part of a head yod, a non-Somo, to act like a Somo. So that Pasik, Lefneim, Lefneim, Yosef, teaches us that you need Dachis Mukha. And then the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, that based on the day, says that you need smuchim is based on a different pasuk. It says Nikah Balabayis Elohu Elohim Loshem Chol. When it refers to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's Loshem Kodesh, and here it refers to human beings, so it's Loshem Chol. So it says Nikah Balabayis Elohu Elohim means, Rashi says, the word Elohim Loshem Chol means a dayan who's samuch mumche, as it says. Rashi quotes. Elohim Lefaro. Rashi, five lines from the bottom of the daf, on base on the base. He quotes from Shmos chapter 9. Venisaticha Elohim Lefaro. What do you mean Elohim? It means a dayon. Loshen Rabbanus. Doesn't mean rabbinus. Loshen Rabbanus means a boss. I'm going to appoint you as the boss over Paro. There is a based on Ela Mishpatim Shatotim, Lefneim, Lefneim Ad Yosef. So that's what Tosis, the issue that Tosis raises on base on the base. So the Ran on this topic points out that he thinks that there are two different issues. One, the Rosh, Menikah Balbais Elohim Elohim, Pratle Ad Yotos, tells you that the Bezin is only kosher if the three members of the Bezin, if the three Dayanim have Smicha. If, they don't, if they're Ad Yotos, Ad Yotos means they don't have Smicha, then it's not a kosher at Bezin. The other pasuk, Eila Mishpatim Shtasim Lefnei, and is an Easter. Lefneim Lo Lefnei Arkoyev. Or Lefneim Lo Lefnei Ad Yosef. Tells you there's an Easter. It's forbidden to go to a secular court if there's a case between two Jewish people, so they're not permitted to go to a secular court, even if the secular court is going to pass in the same way as it doesn't. It's an Easter. Eila Mishpatim Shtasim Lefneim Lo Lefnei Arkoyev. So the Sneim, Lo Lefnei Ad Yosef, also has the connotation of an Isser. And that was Abaye's Kasha against Rabbi Yosef. What was he asking Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef forced the husband to give a get. So Abaye was asking a Kasha, since you don't have smicha, so the get is going to be possible. No, the get is going to be kosher anyway. Sometimes the din is that if the get, if the husband is forced into giving the get is kosher. Sometimes the din is that the get is possible. So that case, where Rabbi Yosef was forcing the husband to give a get, the Gemara discusses it. Why? The Gemara in... Rabbi Basman discusses, a get melusa is usually no good, so how come sometimes it is good? So the Gemara gives a whole explanation why the get melusa is good, why it's kosher. So what was Abai's question on Rabbi Yosef? You don't have any smicha, so the get will be possible. No, the get is going to be kosher anyway. He's asking Akasha, how are you allowed? It's a prohibition, there's an issa. Eila mishpatim ashatasim lefneim, just like lefneim v'loili arkoyes implies an issa, a prohibition, so too lefneim v'loili arkoyes. The Lord of Nehad Yotis implies an Isser. The Rav Yotis said, we say Shlichu Sayyid Kavdi. So the Ran answers Tosis Kash, and he says that there are two psukim because they're really two different deeds. The Pasuk Elohim, Pratle Had Yotis means that's for the Hechsher Herkiv HaBezn. You want to put together a Bezn of three, so the Bezn is only a Kosher Bezn if they have Smicha. If they don't have Smicha, it's not a Kosher Bezn. And you'll proceed from there. You'll proceed from it. So the dinter won't be a valid dinter. So whoever will lose will have the right to say, I want to go to a real bezin. This is a fake. This is not meaningful. And the other pasuk tells you that there's an iser on the part of the hayyotis. Then the Ran goes step number two in the name of the Ramban. He says, what is the nature of the iser? Let's say, lefnei v'lo lefnei ar koyt. You're not permitted to go to secular court. There is an iser in the chumash, you're not allowed to eat chazer. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher meat. So what if you go to the kosher butcher shop and he ran out of meat? He has no meat. So the halacha says you're allowed to go eat non-kosher meat. No. And what if mamash there's no kosher food at all? No kosher food at all. So what's the din?
So the halacha said you can eat non-kosher food. No, the halacha said you're not allowed to. Are you going to go hungry for a day? Mamash, nothing to eat, so you'll go hungry. Aye, it's Shabbos. Aye, it's Yom Tov. Aye, it's Rosh Chodesh. Sorry, you got a fifth. When are you allowed to eat non-kosher? If there's a suffix takana, if there's a suffix pikuach nefesh, or worse, about that takana, so then you're allowed to violate Yisrael Torah. But just because you can't find kosher food, there's no hesitance to violate the din. Here by our koyas, it's a funny din. The Gemara has a din of Shulchan Aruch. Let's say, I say that he owes me $1,000. I go to Desi, and Desi sends a hazmana. And he called him up on the phone, and he says he's not going to go to any din Torah. So the Desi gives me permission to go to the secular court. So what kind of story is that? How does the Desi give me permission? It's like if there's no kosher food, you're allowed to eat non-kosher food. But you can't get a job. You try to get a job to be a shamish shabbos. Can't be a shamish shabbos, then you'd be machal shabbos. Second best. You try. What do you mean? You're not allowed to be machal shabbos unless there's a sakana, unless there's a suffix sakana. Anything less than that, there's no hesed. So what's over here? The suffix sakana. I can live without the $1,000 that he owes me. I need the $1,000 to live on. So people off nefesh, don't people off nefesh. So why is it mutter, if he refuses to go to a din Torah, why would a bezin permit me to go to the secular court? I sah anisa rakoy. So the answer is obvious. The Isser HaKoyes is not an Isser like Chazer, like Shabbos, like Taras HaMishpach. It's not an Isser. It is an Isser. But the Isser is to be Mevazeh the Jewish court. If you have the opportunity to go to a Din Torah, to go to a Jewish court, and you didn't seize the opportunity, and instead you went to the Goyish court, then that's a Bizoyin HaTorah. But if you tried your darndest, you tried your best, and the guy doesn't want to go to Din Torah, and it's a lot of money. If it's a nickel, so forget it. But if it's a lot of money and he does want to go, so why should I lose the money? So the bezin will be moichel on the kavod. They'll give me permission to go to the secular court. Once they give me permission, so there's no prohibition at all. There's no issur at all. And they have to give me permission because they see that I can't get it. We can't get to first base with this fellow. Just doesn't want to go to a din Torah. So the same is true. That's how the Ram says. The same is true regarding. It's the same pasuk. You're not permitted to go to a secular court. You're not permitted to go to Hed Yoytis. The prohibition again, going to Hed Yoytis, mishum zilzul kavod ha-smuchim. So what if you live in Bavel and there are no smuchim? There are a couple of smuchim. There are a few people who got smicha. They learned in Eretz Yisrael. They got smicha. They came to Bavel, but they live in a different city. They live in Ardor, and I live in Pumbedisa. What, I have to go travel 3 days in order to get to a din Torah? Not mechuyif. So the Gemara says, "Anan shlichusai koavdino." What does it mean? Shlichusai doesn't mean like a kohen appoints a non-kohen to duchen for him, or a kohen appoints a non-kohen to be makor karbonis for him. That's ridiculous. No, shlichusai over here means that they're moichel on their kovid. It's a smuchim on moichel on their kovid, and it's reasonable that they should be moichel on their kovid because we don't have enough smuchim in Babel. Hardly anybody in Babel has smicha. Or as not as nobody has any smicha. So it's not that we're acting as shluchim of the Mishaleach who died 1,000 years ago. You can't act, first of all, Shlicha doesn't work because you don't have Shlicha. The one who has the Shlicha can't appoint the one who doesn't have Shlicha as the Shliach, and all of a sudden Shlucha Shlom Kamaz will be considered as if the Shliach has Shlicha. Bottom line, he doesn't have Shlicha, so how can he be done at dinner? So the answer is it's an expression that's a little bit misleading. It doesn't really mean Shlicha. It's totally unrelated to the concept of Shlucha Shalom Kemoisai. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes, and that's what the Chiddush Aran writes, Bahachoba Barichas, he says. That what it really means is that they're Moichal on their Kovit, and there's no Isser. And then he says, and once the Moichal Aran says this, and once the Moichal on their Kovit, so the Mele, there's room to say that the Hedyot is kosher. There's room to argue the point and say, the Aran explains that the whole Psul, there are two different Psukim. One Pasuk, Elohim Pratle Hedyot, just tells you that if you have non Smuchim, they're not kosher, they're not qualified to serve as members of the Bez. And the other part, the Gemara Mishpat, the Mishnah Tosfos Mosan tells you an Isser, a prohibition, but the Ran explains, in the name of the Ramban, that the Psul is a function of the Isser. Whenever there's an Isser, then there's a Psul. Whenever there's Smucha Mamorchal on the covenant, and there's no Isser for a Hedyot to be metaphor in the case, then there's no Psul either. So that's how Tosfos can understand. This is the Bir and Shita, how Tosfos can make a statement that we are the Kabul Gerim, as Manazer, based on Shlichusai. And the Rajboy asks in the Yibamas, how can it be Shlichusai is only the Rabbanon? So obviously, Tosfos understood Shlichusai was a Deraisa. How is it Deraisa? So they understand that Shlichusai means that they're Moichel on the Kovet. Once they're Moichel on the Kovet, there's no Yisr. And the Psul is a function of the Yisr. So once there's no Yisr, the Mele, there's no Psul. And the Rajboy disagrees. The Rajboy holds no, that Shlichusai is just a Takana de Rabbanon. It's a Takana de Rabbanon based on Hefke, based on Hefke. And it cannot work in the area of Yisr. Hefker Bez and Hefker is only the Imamidus. It doesn't work in the area of these Avedas. So that's in the very beginning of Choshe Mishpat. In the first Dimon, the Torah speaks about the Mitzvah and this week's Sedra. Shochtim, Shochtim, Sikim, Lechol, Bechol, Sharech, and the Mitzvah of Hamadim, Zayonim, Bechol, Plach, Plach, and the Meretz Yisrael, Bechol, Yer, V'Yir. Does that Mitzvah still apply Bizman HaZeh Min HaTorah, or only Mid the Rabbanon, Hayoyta, Bizman HaZeh, we don't have any smooth. So that's the question, whether Shlichusai works Min HaTorah, Mid the Rabbanon. So according to Shita Sataisus, the Shlichusai works Min HaTorah, so we have the ability to fulfill the Mitzvah of Hamadah Zayonim Min HaTorah. Whereas according to the Rashba, the whole Mitzvah Bizman HaZeh only applies Mid the Rabbanon. You can't have any Hamadah Zayonim Min HaTorah at all. Hefke Bez and Hefke works in Mamadis, yeah. That doesn't work in No, that's correct. They can give Marcus Mardis, that's another thing. The Gemara has later in Sanhedrin, Shamati Amen Vov Amidala. The Gemara quotes right before the Mishnah. Tanya Ablenda Biyanki Feimer. That's six lines before the Mishnah, Mem Vav Amid Aleph. It says that's a Tosefta. Tosefta is from the same time as the Mishnah. But this bright appears also in Megillah Sinus. Megillah Sinus is supposedly the Rashi writes. Megillah Sinus, Rashi writes in Masechah Shabbos. Why is it called Megillah? Megillah Sinus is a little booklet that sells for, used to sell for $1 or something, now it sells for $10. A little booklet that lists off all of the holidays that were instituted by the rabbis during the period of the Baal Shem Tov. It goes Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, it goes in order of the months, every Yontif. Whenever the Chashmonaim had a victory in battle, so they made another Yontif. And when someone made a major donation to the Beis Hamikdash, all the various Yamim Tov that they had. So usually it just lists off historical events and the holidays that were celebrated. And then once every couple of pages it has a halacha there. And the Megillah Sinus. So Rashi writes in Masechah Shabbos in the first parak. Why is it called Megillah Sinus? Because this was the first part of the Torah Shemal Peh to be written down. So this Braisa that appears in these Tosefta's in Sanhedrin, Tosefta and Negoyim, also appears in Megillah Sinus. That's the earliest written down source. So that tradition, that the Megillah Sinus even has a pasuk. The Tosefta doesn't have a pasuk. Megillah Sinus has a pasuk. Uviyata Aram Mikibecha. That pasuk is gives the license to the Bezdin to be Machmi Yonshin Shlomin Adin. So that pasuk is the basic of that din. Either Shamati means it's an oral tradition for the Torah Shabbat Peh, or it's based on a pasuk. Uviyata Aram Mikibecha, whichever way. But there is such a din that Bezdin Machmi Yonshin Shlomin Adin. So the Bezdin in Babel has a right to give Makas Mardis when they think that it's. No Bezdin, it's no smuchim. Hadyaitis. It says that today in Choshen Mishpat, it says that the Zayin Tuvi Ho'ir. Traditionally, they used to have the board of directors of the community used to consist of seven balabatim. So those are called Zayin Tuvi Ho'ir. The Gemara has such a concept in Megillah, Zayin Tuvi Ho'ir. So Choshen Mishpat is in base. It says that this din, Bez the Machmeyon Shishloimen Adin, is quoted in Choshen Mishpat here in Simen base. So in Shulchan Aruch it says you don't need any smuchim. And the Rabbanim Min HaTorah are not Rabbanim. Everything is a fake. The Rabbanim are fake. The Balabatim are not fake. The Balabatim are for real. But the Rabbanim are fake. So it says the Zayin Tuvi here, that's for real. So the Zayin Tuvi here, the seven members of the board can decide to beat a person up if they think that it's necessary. The guy's not paying his dues to the shul. So they can beat him up. If they think that it's gonna, it has to be Lohay Roshah L'Migda Milta. That's how the Gemara says in Yevamos. This din. Bezin, Makam Yonshin, Shlomen Adin, Zlav Dapki Bezin. We don't have any Bezin today. It means that the community, if they see that it's necessary, has the right to be Makam Yonshin, Shlomen Adin. So that's how they have a right to give Makas Mardis. But you're right, otherwise it would have been Makas Mardis, it would have been Issa the Hetta. So how do you say Shli Hussain Issa the Hetta?
In the case of the get, the
course
of the get, so you don't really need the Bezin to give the get, right? The purpose of the Bezin is to force them to do it. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Gairus, the best number one starts to be able to Gairus.
Right.
So how can we apply the principle of just Kabbalah or the Shurus to the best number that doesn't have to be, but to create a Gairus? Don't you need the smoking to make a
So that's what the Ran explains. He says that the psul of the hedyot to serve as a member of the bezin is a function of the iser. Whenever there's an iser hedyot, then there's a psul. Whenever there's no iser, then there's no psul. So he says once there's smuchem amoichel anakoveh, then there's no iser. Once there's no iser, then in mele there's no psul. That's the Ran, and he says it based on his two psukim. He wants to emphasize his kasha. That Eila Mishpatim Shtasim Lefnei means that there's an Issa. Lefnei Lo Lefnei Arkoyes, Lefnei Lo Lefnei Adyaitim, so they're both an Issa. And then the other Pasuk Elohim, Pratla Adyaitis, that's the Psul.
So he says,
yes. That's what he wants, that's the idea he's developing, why it's kosher. Yes. Why the Adyaitis can be kosher. Once the Mechal on the covered, then there won't be any Psul. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Once you say Shlichus Sakas, you should be able to say Shlichus Sakas, you want to be in the Parshas also. But that's not, the Gemara says, we only apply Shlichus Sakas, that's the Klal is in Bava Kamma. And Daf Peches, that's what Pein Dalet, what says the Klal is in Bava Kamma, Daf Pein Dalet. The other says Shlichus Sakas, and also the Shlichus is basically Sarin Kis. We'll have to talk about that. Why is that so? So that's one of the topics that we started yesterday, we never finished. Then we started another topic. We started a lot of topics yesterday. So we mentioned that there are two types, like he just mentioned now, there are two types of Bate Dinim. We're used to thinking of a Bezdin that gives a psak. There's a Shaila, what the din is. So the Bezdin gives a psak, a hayro, a achro, the machriya, what the din is. But the Mishnah has other batidim. There's a bezin for chalitza, the bezin to do smita on the parah and davashal tibur, and the bezin to do the medida segla rufa. They're not paskining any shaylas. That's called a ma'isa bezin. That's a ma'isa bezin. So the Mishnah mentions that one of the things that requires a bezin of shloisha as a ma'isa bezin is miyunim. What is miyunim? The Rashi explains that a boy or a girl before bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, are considered la bar das. Until the girl is 12 years old, yud beishanav yamechot, she's a ktana, and the boy until yud gimoshanav yamechot is a katna. So a katna, ktana, la b'nei das. In order to get married, you have to be a bar das, so they cannot get married. The only way for a girl to get married before bat mitzvah is if the father marries a roof. The Gemara in Ksuvus learns it up in the Pasuk, it's beaten as a tamishazah. The father has the authority to be Mekadosh's daughter. What if the father is not alive, but the father went on business and he never came back? The father disappeared. So then the girl cannot get married, Minatur. So Midirabbanon, Rashi explains, Leda Takani, son Mektano, she is the Yua, Ima Viachehol Lidaito. If the mother and the brothers, if there are brothers, with brothers, but that brother doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is if the mother wants to marry her off and the brothers protest. And the other Karevim protests that then the Kiddushin is not chal at all. Means that all of the immediate members of the family all agree about this shidduch. But then they made a takanim in the Rabbanon that the mother can marry her off. Or if there's no mother, the brothers can marry her off. That's the takanim in the Rabbanon. What if there's no mother and there's no brothers and there's no father, can the girl marry herself off? So that's a machlokes in Rishonim. We paskin no. We paskin heaven as no. The girl cannot marry herself off. Minatur, she's a lab badas. Midirabbanan, she's still a lab badas. They didn't make a takana midirabbanan that the ktana is a badas. They didn't make a takana midirabbanan that you can get married without that. Made a takana midirabbanan that whereas Minatur, only the father has the right to marry his daughter off, his beaten as atlisha, as only the father. The midirabbanan made a takana, the mother can also marry her off. If the brothers don't disagree, or if the mother and the father are both out of the picture, and it's reasonable, then the brother, it makes sense, the shidduch, so then the brothers can marry her off. But the girl cannot, the brothers are older brothers, obviously, the brothers are bar mitzvah, so then the brothers can marry her off. But if there's no mother or brothers or father to marry her off, then it's a machlokes a rishon, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer that the girl cannot marry herself off. She's a ktanu. So since the whole kiddushin is only midirabbanon, so they made a takana that the kiddushin can be broke if they want to break up the marriage, all they get, they can break it up all they get. The husband can give his wife a get, and she'll be considered a grusha, she'll be asurah l'koy. And if the girl chooses to, she can take a different route to break up the marriage. She can go, if it's still before bat mitzvah, she's not yet a gedola. If she's still before bat mitzvah, calls man shaloi godla, so he says, yosef aloi get b'miyun. She can go in the presence of a bezin of three and make an oral declaration. I don't want to remain married with this man. It's not a good shidduch.
even though she agreed in the first place. Rashi writes, she wasn't protesting at the time that they married her. If she protests the marriage at the time the marriage never got off the ground, it's built in as a built-in meal. You don't need a bezin. She never agreed in the first place, that's not chal. When the father marries off his daughter, that's minat Torah, so that's chal, even she's screaming bloody murder, I don't want to be married to this man, doesn't matter. The Torah gives authorization to the father to marry off his daughter. The father's a little cuckoo, and it's a very miserable shoot-up. The guy's 95 years old, and the girl is 10 years old. What kind of a marriage is that? So she's tough, so she's an ashesish, and the bezin will have to be kai for the husband to give her a get, because it's absolutely unreasonable. But if the mother is marrying off, it's only with the rabbanon, so it has to be within reason. So if it's not l'daito, so there's no takana de rabbanon to begin with. And even if originally it was l'daito, originally the mother married her off and it looked like a good shidduch and everything is good. But now before bat mitzvah, calls man shaloi godlo, she's not happy with the marriage and she says, I don't want to remain married with him. So she doesn't require a get. If the husband gave her a get, she'll be a grusha asur l'kai. And she'll be prohibited to marry his brother, and he'll be forbidden to marry her sister. Because they were married and now they got divorced. They were married mid the rabbanon and then they got divorced. But if she chooses to, instead of the husband giving her a get, she'll go to a bezin and declare miyun, I refuse to remain with this husband. And then the halacha says that the bezin is oikei the kedusha mila mafreya, and it's considered as if she was never married, and she's permitted to marry a kohen, even though she's a be'ulah. So what, she can't marry a kangol if she's a be'ulah. So if she can marry a kanedyot, she's not considered a grusha, she's permitted to marry the former husband's brother and he's permitted to marry her sister, because it's not considered a shesach or anything, because this is considered a form of annulment. So Rashi explains, this is a famous Rashi. Rashi explains, u'vishlosha b'inon, we require that the miyon should be done in the presence of a bezin of three. The question if it really passes like this. You've almost said bezin of two is enough. Okay, that's another question. The details you have to look through in Yevamos, whether we really pass like this mission that miyun is b'shloisha. The Rashi over here writes, u'b'shloisha b'inon. She has to declare that her dissatisfaction with the marriage in the presence of the bezin of three. Rashi has the famous line, called the tikkun rabbanon kein d'oraisa tikkun. Yes, that is true. Called the tikkun rabbanon kein d'oraisa tikkun is a statement, a concept that appears in the Gemara in many different places. What is Rashi driving at over here? Just like on the level of d'oraisa, when you break up the marriage, you need three, you need a bezin of three min haTorah. So too, when you break up this marriage mid the rabbanon, you need a bezin of three mid the rabbanon. Where do you require a bezin of three on the level of d'oraisa when you break up a marriage? That's what the Achrenim are not sure. What's Rashi driving at? So there's a famous Nadi Yehuda in the Chuvas Nadi Yehuda, Matur Tinyon, and several other Achrenim had the impression that Rashi was saying, like those Rishonim, that you need a bezin of three to give a get min haTorah. Last year, the yeshiva learned Ksubas. So on the first page in Ksubas, the first Yam Shel Shlomo, there was a person by the name of Maharshal. He was a cousin of the Ramah, they were contemporary. So the Maharshal wrote a sefer called Yam Shel Shlomo, his name was Shlomo. And a few mesichtas. So one of the mesichtas is Ksubas. On the first page, Siman Aleph in the Yam Shel Shlomo Ksubas, he has a long quotation from the Or Zeruah. That's one of the Rishonim. From the Or Zeruah. So the Or Zeruah says that when a husband gives his wife a get, you require that it should be done by Yom. Why? Because you need a bezin, and you need a bezin of three. And all but the dinner has to be convened by Yom, like the more later in Sanhedrin and Baba Kama, different marmakimas. And the get, the Masadar get, the three members of the bezin should not be craving to the husband or to the wife, because like any bezin, the bezin cannot be craving to the Bali Dvarim, and they cannot be craving to each other. So new din, we never heard of that. You need bezin of three when you give a get. So the Rishonim ask, it says in the Gemara in the end of Baba Basra, also called the Megarish, but Beit Din Megarish. Is that the case that everybody who gets divorced in the presence of the bezin? It's not true. The Gemara says you don't require a bezin. So how come the Yerzeru does require a bezin of three? And he says you need a bezin, has to be by Yom. The Gemara talks about giving a get balayla. The Gemara talks about giving a get. Mishnah talks about giving a get balayla. What's he talking about? Or Yerzeru doesn't make any sense. So the Vilna Goyen in Ebenezer, in the Bi Rabbah in Ebenezer, tries to save the Yerzeru. The Ramah quotes it, La'alocha, you need a bezin of three and has to be by Yom. They shouldn't be crowing to the husband, to the wife. How can it be? So the Vilna Goyen saves this Arzaruah from being totally wrong. So he says, this is a takone from the later Amoroi. In the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the early Amoraim, they never had such a din that you needed that. That's why the Gemara has the expression, then the Baba Basra also called the Megarish, but Bedin and Megarish. Is that the case that everyone who gives a get always gives a get in presence of a bezin? It's not true. And the Mishnahis and Gittin talk about Nechta Bayom, Nechta Malayla, Nechta Malayla, Nechta Malayla, gave the get Balayla. Gemara talks about getting married Balayla, getting divorced Balayla. There's no problem. In the later generations, when they made a takana, the Gemara says, Kol Nisheni Debit Gittin Gidushin. When the later Amoraim instituted that takana, the Rashi writes in Gittin, they required a bezin to be misadar aget and a bezin to be misadar kiddushin. The whole concept of misadar kiddushin, misadar aget, according to Rashi, was instituted in the days of the later Amoraim when they made that takana. Misheni debet gittin kiddushin lo yehelo etzikimoyim. So that's how the Vilna Gaon explains the Sarazuwad. The Ruz requirement of a bezin of three to giving the get is only midirabbanon, it's not minasher. So you can't say that that's pshat in Rashi here. Rashi writes a bishloish of the inon, you need a bezin of three. For miyunim, it's called the tikkun rabbanon, came the raisa tikkun. Just like on the level of the raisa get need shloisha minatayra, so to miyun midirabbanon needs a bezin of three. How can you say just like a get? The get only needs a bezin midirabbanon. What does it mean called the tikkun? I mean, just like they required midirabbanon a bezin of three for a get, so to they required a bezin of three for miyun. And this is in the Mishnah. In the days of the Mishnah, they needed a bezin of three for a get. It's not true. In the days of the Tanaim, you didn't need a bezin of three. This was a takana that came in the later generation. So that's why the later Achrenim are not happy with that. The early Achrenim, also before the Nadiv Yud, they're not happy with this interpretation in Rashi. So the Maram Shif, in the back of the Gemara, Maram Shif, and the Rashash, and others, and the Orach Laner points it out. They all point out this issue. The superficial reading of Rashi seems to imply that Rashi is saying that a get requires a bezin of three min atar, and that's impossible. That's against all the Gemara. So what they come to is that Rashi probably means, Yosef Engel I think also has this, the Gilyoni Hashas, on this Rashi. So what they all come to the conclusion is that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there, I said Tikkun means that Miyun was instituted parallel to Chalitza. Just like by Chalitza, you need Shloisha, that's Taka Din Min Atar. The Mishnah says Chalitza, Machloikas Hatanai, whether Chalitza needs a bezin of three or bezin of five. So the Chatzchila we have five, but in order to, but Mikra Din you only need three. So the Gemara says, in order to demonstrate that Mikra Din is enough with three, if you ever saw a Chalitza, you have three Dayanim sit in one row, and the other two Dayanim sit at a right angle to the three Dayanim, to indicate that there are only no Sofim. The Ika Bezin of the Chalitza consists of the first three, and the two are just in Sofim, because we pass them to Machlokes HaTanaim, and the Mishnah in Yevamos, and we pass them that Chalitza Mikra Din is enough with three. But the Gemara says there in Yevamos, and third Mishnah Chalitza, that the Chatzchili should have five. So by Chalitza, there is a Din Min Atar that you need three. That's a Din Min Atar. The Rashi writes, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came there as a Tikkun. They instituted Miyun parallel to Chalitza. Yeah, but you have to explain still, why did they make Miyun, why did they consider Miyun parallel to Chalitza, why not consider Miyun parallel to a get? And a get doesn't need a bezin, Minatar, a get doesn't need a bezin. So that's what the Achrenim say, they think that Rashi is assuming that Miyun is parallel to Chalitza in two ways. First of all, by a get, the husband is the one that does the get. The husband writes the get and gives the get to the wife even Balkarcha. As opposed to Chalitza, the wife does the whole Chalitza. The Yevama, not the wife, the Yevama takes off the shoe. She does the spitting. She does the chalitza. So the erosa miyun, she does the whole miyun. The husband doesn't participate at all. The wife goes to the bezin with or without her husband, and she says she's not happily married and she doesn't want to remain married. So goodbye. That's it. They annul the bezin, annuls the marriage. So that's hashvah number one. That miyun is more similar to chalitza than it is to get, because all the activity is done by the wife. And then hashvah number two, the achrenim say is that there's a lot of talking that's done. The Miyun is, the whole thing consists of talking. By Chalitza also, there's a lot of talking. The Kriya Sapsukim is not Nyakeh, but Chatzchila is part of the Mitzvah. You have the main part of the Chalitza is the Chalitza, taking off the shoe. And we pass on that's all that's Nikum. As long as she takes off the shoe with the intention, the Yovam and the Yavam had in mind at the time that she's taking off the shoe. Let's say she sells shoes in the store, and the Yovam comes to buy a pair of shoes, so she puts on a pair of shoes, she takes it off, puts on another pair of shoes, takes it off. She's intending to make a sale. She's not intending to do chalitza. But then the Gemara says the chalitza will not be kosher. She won't be allowed to remarry. So you have to have, and even if she has in mind that this is her chalitza, she So I said, the guy's giving her a hard time with the chalitza. So she goes, she gets a job in a, as a saleswoman in a shoe store, and she puts on a shoe and she takes it off, she throws it away, and she says, okay, now I'm potter for you. But Mara says she's not yet potter because you have to have out, she is kavan hu, out, she is kavan he. You have to have, both of them have to have kavana. The yovan with the yovana have to have kavana, that by taking off the shoe, she becomes mutaris lehinasi la shuk. So Mikra din we pass in the Rolat Ma'akiv is the chalitza, the removing of the shoe. There's one Tana holds that even the Rikik is Mi'akiv, we pass in it's not. Then there's even a third Tana holds that the Kriyas HaPsukim is Mi'akiv, we pass in neither. Neither the Kriyas HaPsukim nor the Rikik, the only thing that's Ma'akiv is the Hasaras HaManu. But L'Hatchila, to fulfill the mitzvah b'shlei Musa, chalitza, chalitza is not just a matter, chalitza is a mitzvah also. Chalitza is a mitzvah also. We don't say a bracha. That's the question why. Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, you don't say a bracha because it's tragic that the man died without any children. It's tragic that you ever get involved in such a mitzvah. We would have preferred that the hiratzim that you say when you take care of a chalitza, when you decide a chalitza, say hiratzim. That none of the Jewish women should ever require a chalitza. It's always a tragedy. It means that the husband died, they were married, they never had any children. Sometimes he was killed in the Israeli army at a young age. Sometimes old age, they were married for 60 years, they never had any children. It's also a tragedy. So that's the Rishonim say that's the reason why there's no bracha. But we consider it a mitzvah. There's even a big discussion in Paskim. Let's say the husband dies and the wife is 95 years old and never had any children. And she's not interested in remarrying. She can barely breathe. Then interested in being married. Do we say you have to hurry to fulfill the mitzvah of chalitza before you die? Or do you say, no, chalitza is only if you're interested in remarrying. Then there's a mitzvah. It clearly is a mitzvah. It's not just a matter, it's a mitzvah. But there's a further machlokes achronim. Is it only a mitzvah when you're interested in remarrying? Then it's a mitzvah. Or do you say, no, it's a mitzvah even if she's not interested in remarrying. That's a big deal in achronim. The common practice is that the women don't do chalitza until they're interested in remarrying. Sometimes they wait too long. The halacha says you have to wait 90 days. You have to wait 92 days. They have to do the chalitza until you remarry. So sometimes they wake up the last minute. Sometimes they're ready. It takes a while till they get over the death of the husband, until they're interested in remarrying, until they meet someone. Then they finally set a wedding date, and then they decide to do the chalitza the week before. Then they find out the good news. Once you do chalitza, you got to wait 92 days. There was a couple here in the neighborhood. They were going to spend Pesach together in Florida. So they were going to get married and spend Pesach together. And then they did chalitza the week before. Then they found out, what do you mean? Got to wait 92 days. So they spent Pesach separately in Florida. Two different apartments. And they got married 3 months later. You have to wait, Allah says you have to wait 92 days. Even though the woman was obviously not pregnant, the whole reason why they made a takana, you have to wait 92 days to make sure that the woman is, we want to know whether she's pregnant from the first husband or pregnant from the second husband. The woman is 75 years old, so obviously she's not pregnant from the first husband. She's not going to become pregnant from the second husband either. But the Gemara says that's a takana, it's a loy tzlug rabbana. Even if she's a zakin, a skena, and a filiyo beliyo, even if eliyo adnovi comes and he says that the woman is not pregnant, so you have to wait tzadik beit yad. That's a din of hafkana. So this is the common practice is that the women only do chalitza when they're interested in remarriage. And several major poskim hold that that's not right. They say that they should perform the chalitza even if they're not interested in remarrying. Based on a Zohar, they claim that maybe it's a tikkun for the maid, it's a mitzvah to perform chalitza even if she's not interested in remarrying. That's the question.
From the time of the death of the
whenever there's no brother to do yibum. So then the halacha says you just wait 92 days from the death of the husband. Whenever there is a brother to do yibum, so he could have done yibum. So there may be a yibum involved. So then the halacha says you got to wait 92 days from the time of the chalitza. So this is what the later achrayim say. They say the Nerdi Yehuda thought that Rashi is saying that a get needs shlosha min haTorah. So they say that's just a little too much. They say even if one would adopt the position of the Ozarua, that a get needs a dezen of three, and has to be bayom, and there shouldn't be krov. The Ozarua says it both by get and by kiddushin. Knows that Makesh Havai Yitzir. He says that kiddushin also, you have to have a dezen of three, and it has to be bayom. You're not allowed to get married at night. And the Mesadri kiddushin shouldn't be the three Mesadri kiddushin. The three people are Mesadri kiddushin. You've got to have three people by wedding. Shouldn't be related to the chosan or to the kalm. If the wedding is at night, obviously, in Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote the whole Oroz HaRuch. Shulchan Aruch, they only quote the Oroz HaRuch in regard to getting divorced. They don't quote him in regard to getting married. So the Knesset HaGdolah writes, he was a rabbi in Constantinople, so he writes that's terrible, that the Ramah didn't quote the whole Oroz HaRuch, and in Constantinople, they used to get married at night, that's a terrible practice, and he restored it back to the correct form, that no more marriages at night, no more weddings at night, everybody has to get married at the daytime, because the Ramah quoted the Oroz HaRuch b'negiyah t'get, and he just forgot to quote it b'negiyah to the Kiddushin, and you have to be machmer all the way. And others are not machmer, others say no, the Ramah only quoted it to be machmer by a guest, he never quoted it to be machmer by Kiddushin, that he needed bezna priest. But that's the original Oroz HaRuch, that's quoted in the first page in the Yam Shel Shlom and Ksubis, he quotes it both, by Kiddushin and by a guest, that you need a bezna of three, and it should be by Yom, it shouldn't be Bikrovim. If the wedding is at night anyway, then it doesn't make sense to be machmer that the Nesari Kiddushin shouldn't be a relative. But if the wedding is in the daytime, then there's what to negotiate, then there's what to discuss. Should you be machmer for the Oroz HaRuch that the Nesari Kiddushin should not be a relative, or no? It wasn't quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, so you don't have to be machmer. So that's the question. That's a famous Rashi, this Rashi. Told the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Rashi. The last thing that we started yesterday, we left off in the middle, was that the original source in Chumash that we require a bezna of three smuchim is by Gzeilas Bachavolas. That's what the Gemara says in Gim and Beis on the base right in the middle of the Omud. The Iker Gimel, the Chsivi, the main source in Chumash, by Gzeilas Bachavolas Chsivi. Why? The Chsiv, Gzeilas Chsiv, in the middle of Parshas Mishpatim, it says Shmoyz Chabeis, the Nikra Balabais Elho Elohim. So how do you see that you need, the word Elohim means stomach, how do you see that you need three smuchim? So Rashi refers you to the Gemara later on Gimel Amud Beis. Take a look in Gimel Amud Beis, the fourth line from the top, Shlosha min Olo Netana Rabbanim. We have the Braita, where the Braita records the Machlokes Hatanoim, Rabbi Yoshiya and Rabbi Yonis. This apparently is one of the Midrash HaTorah Nedreshet. Those who come to Minyan on time will certainly know that there's a Siddur. So we all know from studying Gemara, we're not so keen on those Yud Gimel Midrash. We've never come across, some of those you never come across. The whole Talmud Bavli, you never bump into any of them. Some of them you do. They're a Shavah, a Kal Vachomer, you do. But some of the others, your mamish never come across. So we have, there are clearly additional midas. The brighter Rabbi Shmuel Am Yud Gimel midas, that's not the whole story, there are more than Yud Gimel midas. So one of the midas that's going to be discussed over here is, if you have a din in a chumash, and a word is repeated more than once, so you add up the number of times that the word is mentioned, it sounds like a balatur, but this is for real. Balaturim is a parparos, but this is a real Midrash HaTorah Nedreshet. You have the word Elohim, and it appears three times. So you add it up, and it teaches you that you need three Dayanim Smuchim to constitute a Bezin for Gzeilus V'Chavolos. And the Gemara has over here, on Dalon Amud Aleph, the Gemara has, right in the middle of the Amud, it says, Vayikra Dalon, in the Torah Or. So the Gemara says, when you bring a korban chatos, it says in the Pashuk, you should be zerk the dam al karnos ham izbeach, and it says karnos, karnos, karnos. So the Gemara says, you add up how many times it says the word keren, and that teaches you how many zrikas and how many karnos ham izbeach you need in the korban chatos. The Gemara goes into the details, machleg is b'sham b'tzilo, whether you add up how many times it says keren according to the ksiv or according to the kri. But the ksiv is chaser, and the kri is mole, karnas, karnas, karnos. Or you have Batukas Teshu Shivat Yomim. Yesh Batukas, my Yerodim says, Ki Batukas Oshafti is B'nai Yisrael. So in the same Pasuk, it has the word Batukas written three times. Why was it written three times? So the Gemara says later on the Daf, seven lines from the bottom. Batukas, Batukas, Batukos. So you add up how many times the word Sukkah appears in the Chumash, and it comes to teach you how many defamas you need for the Sukkah. How many walls are necessary for the Sukkah. Do you need four walls, or do you need three walls? So it's a machlekes tatanoi. And the same thing in Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara has, there is a machlekes tatanoi, how many obis malachas are there? The Mishnah says that there are 39 Avos Malach. The Gemara says not all the Tanaim agree. Some Tanaim say there are more than 39 Avos Malach. What's the significance? What's the relevance as to how many Avos Malach there are? So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yechanan. Why does the Mishnah mention the number 39? Shimaston Kulam Mehelam Echad. If he violated everything in the book, he doesn't know anything of Hilchas Shabbos, just knows today is Shabbos, he's supposed to be Shabbos Shabbos, and he thinks that Shabbos Shabbos means, I don't know, say Kiddush and Yav Shabbos Shudas, and you don't go Chutz L'Kum. He doesn't know too much more. You don't go to work. You don't go to the office, but he doesn't know much more. And then he violated everything that is possible. From A to Z, he violated everything. So the Gemara says the maximum number of Karbanos Chatzos he can bring is 39. Because if you violate many malachas, others and told us, or main malach achas, you only have one chatzos, and there are 39 categories. We assume, like the Mishnah, that there are 39 others malachas, and you have 39 chatzos. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Sometimes I deny this. They say there are more than 39 malachas. 41, the Gemara there, and that's Ainei, and Masech HaShabbos. The Gemara has a whole discussion. The Tana who says that there are 39, how did he establish this concept? So the Gemara has a machlokes. So one opinion in the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos is, if you add up from the beginning of Bereishis till the end of Zayis HaBracha, how many times the word Malacha appears? Malacha, Malachto, Malechas. And it adds up to 39. Not exactly true, it adds up to much more than 39. So how do you get 39? So that's Akasha. It's at the end of it, it's Akasha. He added up. So there are different terutim, they say. Naim has a long essays written about this. Different Rishonim have different approaches. Which psukim are discounted? Which psukim don't count in the Cheshbon? So that's a question. But the Gemara says, if you add up from the beginning of Bereishis, Echal Elokim is called Malach Ba'asher Aso, you start over there. You count every time it says Malacha, and it says 39 times. And that's considered a drasha gemura. That's considered a bona fide drasha. Like over here, it says the word Elohim three times, or it says the word Sukkot three times, or it says the word Karnos three times, so you add up how many times it says. Or the Mishnah has, when you play the Hegdish, in the end of Chumash Vayikra, in Parshas Bukhukos, it says when you play the Hegdish, so it says you go to the coin, and the coin assesses it, and then you bring this to the coin, and that to the coin, so the Gemara says you add up how many times does it say coin 10 times. That's how we establish our karka is Tisha B'Koin. The Mishnah says on Beis Amidalef, if you want to be paid a hegdish, that's karka, they need a bezin that consists of 10 people to assess the value of the property. One of the 10 should be a koin, and the other 9 can be Yisraelim. And this is derived from the fact that the word hakoin appears 10 times in the Chumash, and you add up how many times it says hakoin. That's one opinion in the Gemara. How do you know that there are 39 malachas? Because it says the word Malacha, Malachta, Malacha is 39 times. And the other opinion in the Gemara is that we establish that there are 39 Malachas based on the Gematria. Where is that Gematria? I think it's in Vayakel. It says, Eile Hadvarim says that you should observe Shabbos. Then it says, Eile Hadvarim, Ashatziva Hashem, Ashatziva Moshe is Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Dvarim would have meant two things. Miyot Rabim Shnai. Hadvarim with the Hey idea means that there's a third topic to tell Bnei Yisrael. Aleph Lamed Hey Eile is the gematria of 36, and 36 to 3 is 39. So that's a gematria. So the Mefarshim on the Gemara say that opinion in the Gemara that is based on a gematria, that's only an asmach. Because the Mishnah says in Chagige, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that gematrios are only parparois lachotim. A gematria is not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash system. But the other opinion in the Gemara, that it's based on Malacha, Malachta, Malecha, if you add up how many times it says from Bereishis till the Zayis HaBracha, how many times the word Malacha appears, so that's a Drasha Gemura. That's a Drasha Gemura. This is the Machlokes on Memtes on the Bay, Masech HaShabbos. The Gemara says the Amoraim is sitting around and discussing Hoda Yasa Bekam Abaylu, Hoda Sand Ovis Malachas, Afayim Chasarachas, Keneged Ni. What's the Mokka? The one says, Keneged Malacha Reb Shimon, who is a Reb Yosef ben Lekunya, says, Om Reb Shimon b'Reb Yosef ben Lekunya. Reb Shimon b'Reb Yosef, Reb Lekunya says, it's based on Malacha Malachta Malecha. The other one says, no, it's based on the Gematria of Dvarim HaDvar Me'la HaDvarim. So the Pnei Yeshua point says that if it's based on the Gematria of Dvarim HaDvar Me'la HaDvarim, then that's not a Drosha Gemur. That's only an Asmachta, because the Mishnah says, Gematria is a Parparah Islacha. That's not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drosha.
Gemara learns that one din. Gemara learns that a din from a gematria. The Gemara says, how do you know that Sam Nazirah Shloshim Yom? If a person wants to be Mekabel Nazirah, so he can't be a Nazir for less than 30 days. He can be a Nazir for 30 years. He can be a Nazir for 150 days, as long as he wants, but it has to be a minimum of 30 days. So the Gemara says, how do you know that it's a minimum of 30 days? So the Gemara says, because it says in the Pasuk in Parashas Nota, Kodosh Yehiyeh, Gadel Tera Sar Rosho, so the word Yehiyeh is a gematria of 30. So the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the first paragraph, knows that that's only an Asmachta, because the Gemara says, Gematria is Paparos Lachachma. The Mishnah says, Gematria is Paparos Lachachma. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua says in Masech HaShabbos. He says, the Tana who learns it out from the Pasuk, Malocha Malachta Maleches, that's a legitimate drasha gemura, like over here. Elohim, 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 coin, coin, coin 10 times, or karnos, 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 and so on. But the Tanu who learns it out, the opinion who learns it out from the gematria, dvarim hadvarim, eva hadvarim, that's only an asmachta. That's not a drasha gemura. So again, so the gemara is getting back again over here to base on the base. The gemara says that the original pasuk ikir gimel, the original source of the institution of a bezdin that you need shlosha smuchim, says in Chumash, in the Parshas Mishpatim, in the context of Zelus HaHavolus. Why? Zelus Dichsiv Nikar Balabais El HaLehim Lo Shalach Yodav Melech Esreyev. It's talking about Hashem Achinam. It's talking about Hashem Achinam. What's the din? Hashem Achinam is a Shem Rana Pikodon. So he's only, and then for a month, and then at the end of the month, Mavke comes and he says, okay, thank you very much for watching the Pikodon. He went there to Zohar for a month, he comes back. And he says, can you give me back my pikkudim? So he says, tragedy, a tragedy, it was stolen. I lost it. I lost it. Geneva v'aveid. Or anointness occurred. So what's the din? Does the Shema have to pay or does the Shema not have to pay? So the din is that a Shema Chinim is only chayv to pay if he was posheil. If he was posheil, it's not chayv to pay. If he's a Shema Sachar, he's even chayv in Geneva v'aveid, but he's part of the monster. If he's a shoyel, then he's even chayv in onset. Those are the three dinim of the three Shema. So the Pasuk says, if Nikar Balabai Zelhu Elohim, Im Lo Shalach Yodav Melech Esriyah, provided that the Shemachinam was not Shalach Bayad, if his Shalach Bayad is not stolen Gazlon, even though later on it was stolen, or even if Anoinus occurred later, Bachla, the Shem is going to be held responsible. But once the Shemachinam is Shalach Bayad, the Shalach Yabit Bikod Nasol El Gazlon. But if he swears, if Nikar Balabai Zelhu Elohim means he goes to the Bezin to swear. He swears the Shavuah Hashemrim, he swears the Shavuah that Lo Shalach Bayad, and that it was nenas, and I don't have it, and then Allah has said that he doesn't have to pay. So that's in the middle of Parshas. So the Pasuk requires three times Elohim. The Pasuk requires a bezin of three smuchim. That's by Gzeilus v'chavolus. Well, how do you know chavolus? Maybe it's only Gzeilus. Gemara says, no, mali chavol b'gufo, mali chavol b'mamona. Gzeilus v'chavolus is the same as far as this is concerned. As opposed to hadois v'halvois, that's a different story. That may well be, the Gemara says that's a machloikus, that may well be that Shlosha Smuchim is only required Minatura by Gzeilus v'chavolus, and maybe my Hadoras v'chavolus, maybe Minatura chad na'mikosh. That's going to be a machloikus. Do you say that the need for Shlosha Smuchim that appears in the parsha of Gzeilus v'chavolus is restricted Minatura only to Gzeilus v'chavolus, or even carries over to Hadoras v'chavolus? So before you get to that discussion, what the issue is, what's the difference between Gzeilus v'chavolus and Hadoras v'chavolus? So we mentioned yesterday, Rav Soloveitchik said that the Gemara in Ksubis has terminology to describe two categories of chiyuvei mamon. The Gemara speaks about a concept of milu aksuvei b'Torah and a concept of milu v'sheini aksuvei b'Torah. Milu aksuvei b'Torah is like pinyin haben, that the Torah imposes, whether you're happy or not, the Torah imposes on the father of the baby that he has to pay the koyin 5 shloim. Or a choyvol, a mazik, a gazlon. This is a milu aksuvei b'Torah. Means a chiyuv moment that the Torah imposes upon the person. Milu she'ein aksuvei b'Torah means a chiyuv moment that the Torah accepted upon himself. It happens that it does say in the Chumash, Tosfos points out in Ksubis, it does say in the Chumash, V'yish asher atanu shebo yotzei leches avot achutz, it says that the malva should wait out, the malva asked the loy, you owe me money, you didn't pay, so it says malva's not allowed to enter the home of the loy to pressure him, to give him a mashkin. The loiva should go into his home and pay the malva. So the Chumash does say the loiva has to pay the malva. But Taisa says it's still a little shenik siva batera, because even if it weren't written in the Chumash, we would have understood on our own that the loiva has to pay, because it's a hischaibis midas. When he borrowed the money, he accepted upon himself the obligation to pay. And the same is true regarding lokeach. Someone buys merchandise and he agrees to pay. He buys stocks in the corporation, whatever. if he accepts upon himself that his chayvus midah, that's a halvor, that's like a mekach, the meha mekach, so that's his chayvus midah. So the halacha considers these are halachically two different types of chiyuv imam. There's a milva ksuvah b'Torah, his chiyuv that the Torah imposes, and the milva shein ksuvah b'Torah, that's his chayvus midah. Where do we see that these are considered two different types of chiyuv imam? So the Gemara has in four different places, and this is the fifth place over here, that Beis Hamikdash. There are five different halachas where this may or may not be relevant. One place is regarding Shibud Nechosin. The Gemara has a famous machlokes, Atanoim, and a machlokes la'aloch and Choshim Mishpat, where the Shibud derais and Shibud lav derais. What does that mean? So we usually use the terminology of the Rabbeinu Tam, the Shnei Shibudim Haim. The Rishonim quotes, the Rosh and the Ran quotes this in Tzubim. Tzitz never quotes this Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rosh and the Ran quote Rabbeinu Tam, Oim Shnei Shibudim Haim. There's a Shibud Aguf and a Shibud Nechosin. When you borrow money from somebody else, so you have to pay back the money. That's the Shibud Aguf. Not only Shibud Aguf, it's you'll die. So the Malva will be entitled to collect from your Yerushim. That's called Shibud Nechosin. If you left over Nechosin, if you leave over property. So not only is there Shibud Aguf, a personal obligation, you are indebted. Let's say I'm broke, I have no money. I borrowed $1,000 and I gambled it away and I have nothing. So the din says I owe him $1,000. So if I get a job and I'll earn some money later, I'll have to pay out the money. I'll have to pay him up to $1,000. What if I borrow the money and I have real estate and then I die? The halacha says that all of the karkos that I have, I'm a shubit to pay the loan, even though when the malva is going to collect, I'm dead already. So he's not collecting from me based on the shibud aguf. He's collecting from the nechosim. So that's the halacha. He has a lien on my property. That's the concept of shibud nechosim. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim, whether shibud derais or shibud lav derais. Is this a din min haTorah that the shibud nechosim, or is this only a takanah of the rabban? So how do we pass in as a baita machlekes a rishonim? The shach and the choshen mishpat and simon lamites. Simon lamites is the first simon in halvor. Up until simon lamites is all about dayanim and edim. Simon lamites is simon about edim zonim. That's the end of hilchos edim. Simon lamites is the first simon about halvor. So the long shach and simon lamites says that it's a speaker to dina. He says that some of the rishonim he lists off marocha mul marocha. He lists many Rishonim say Shibud HaDeraisa, and many Rishonim pass in Shibud HaLav DeRaisa. He says it's a Speke Nadina how you pass what the Shibud HaDeraisa, Lav DeRaisa. So one of the opinions in the Rishonim is Taisus in Kiddush, and Daf Yud Gimel, quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, who interprets in the Gemara that there's a compromised opinion. And the Gemara speaks about such a possibility. Rabbeinu Hananel didn't invent it from Tineh. The Gemara discusses such a possibility of a compromise. And Rabbeinu Hananel holds that is the Pesach La'aloha, that if it's a Milva HaKtuvah B'Torah, if it's a Shibud that the Torah imposes upon the person, then the Torah imposes the Shibud to the maximum, then you say Shibud HaDerai. Then even Shibud Nechosim is also Derai. But if the Milva Shein HaKtuvah B'Torah, say his Chayv is Midas, and he accepted upon himself, on his own, so then you say Shibud HaLav Derai. So you see that the Gemara, and there are Rishonim, will pass them like that, hold that there's a difference on the level of their eyes, they're going to give the sheep and the chosim to the milva ksuvah b'Torah, as opposed to the milva shein ksuvah b'Torah. There's another difference. I'll be pashtus, you have mishnayis and bava kama. Let's say I scratch your car. I'm driving and I scratch your car. So how much is the hefsid? So if the hefsid is worth more than the shalav pruta, then I have to pay. What if the hefsid is worth less than the shalav pruta? I have to pay with half a penny. I have to give you a lollipop that sells five lollipops for a penny. I have to give you a lollipop to pay up for the hefsid. Someone is choyvel or mazik, someone else less than the shalav pruta. So the Mishnah says you don't have to pay. The Torah never imposes a chiyuv mamon upon a person if the whole chiyuv mamon is going to be less than the shalav pruta. But what if it's a his chayvus midah? What if I buy a lollipop from the store and the lollipop sells five for a penny? And I buy one. I agree to buy one. And I'm going to pay for it. So what am I going to pay him? So I have to figure out how I'm going to pay him. In America, we don't have halfpenny. In England, they have halfpenny. You have to figure out how you're going to pay less than a shekel. But there is a din. You have to pay by a halvor. By a halvor. Or by the meha mekach, which is his chayvus midah. So you can create a chiyuv of less than a shekel. So that halacha that you never have a chiyuv moment of less than a shekel. That's if the Torah is imposing a chiyuv upon the person. The Torah never imposes a chiyuv on less than a shekel. Then Rav Soloveitchik mentioned there's a Meiri in Bava Kama quotes a fascinating opinion that the din of kom lebe de rabbi minei only applies
If it's a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes, come lebe derab minei is a Mishnah in Bava Kama. The Mishnah says in Bava Kama, Hasorv gedisha shal chaver b'shabbos. If I burn down the next door neighbor's barn on Shabbos, and I make a big hefset mamon, thousands of dollars, I burn, I destroy. So the Mishnah says you're potter from paying the money, because come lebe derab minei mifneshim b'chay b'nafshin. Since burning down the barn is an act of chilul Shabbos, then Gemara has a whole discussion. Why is it an act of chilul Shabbos? It's mekalko. It's mekalkel, it's mutam and aser. It's only chilul Shabbos when they're rabban. A guy burns down a house, it's mekalkel. So Gemara says, maybe mekalkel is chayiv, b'havara. All discussion about the Kabbalah. Why the Mishnah considers burning down a barn an act of chilul Shabbos if it's an act of kilkel. But the Mishnah gives that as the example of kam lebe derabban. Aser, kedisha, shal chaver, b'shabbos, is pater from tashlum and tneshim is chayiv b'nafshim. That's kam lebe derabban. So what if a marshal like this, a guy smoking a cigar in Shabbos, and he goes to someone else, and he says, I'd like to borrow $1,000. And he's puffing away as he lends him the money. So he's mechayev nisa, as he puffs away on the cigar, he's mechayev nisa, every puff. And when he borrows the money, come later to Rabbi, so he doesn't have to pay. So that's quite a patent. So it's a way to borrow a lot of money and not pay back a penny. So the Niri writes a chiddush in the name of the Chachmei Pavan. Niri Zimbabwe Kama Dafayim. So the Niri interprets a Gemara like that you don't apply Kom Lebe de Rabbeinu to a Chiv Mamon that the Torah accepts, that the person accepts upon his own. Because one of the sources of the din of Kom Lebe de Rabbeinu is the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim that says, V'yon Shu'osu Kedei Rishosoi. So the Gemara has a comment on that pasuk, V'shem Risha Achasat Mechaiva V'yat Mechaiva V'shem Shtei Rishios. You only punish him on one of the two Rishios. You don't give him a punishment on both Rishios. So to say that his chayvus midas is called a risha, that doesn't fit into the terminology. The expression of risha means either he did something wrong, chayvul mazik, something like that. Or even tikkun aben, okay. A risha means a chiyuv that the Torah imposes on the person. But a chiyuv moment that the person accepts upon himself, his chayvus midas doesn't really fit into the expression risha. So that's one opinion in the Meiri. He quotes from the Chachmei Pavan that kom lebe derabbeinu only applies the chiyuv nisa patur the chiyuv mamon which the Torah is imposing. So in this case, the Torah doesn't impose the chiyuv mamon. But if you're accepting on your own the chiyuv mamon, then kam lebe derabbeinu will not patur. This is how the Meiri quotes the Chachmei Pavan, interpreted the Gemara Bava Kama, it appears in other places also. The Gemara has an expression, there's a din of Esan Zaina. That it's patur legabe mizbeach. Someone went to a Zaina and he gave the Zaina in payment the services rendered, so he gives her behemah. Then the Zayna has, she knows she's doing wrong, and she decides she wants to donate, every so often she wants to donate a carving to the Beit HaMikdash as a kapara for her style of living. My father told me that that's often the case. In America also, when you're building a shul, and they need the money to pay for the shul, so the local Jewish Zayna will always make a major donation, because they know that they need a kapara, they know they do wrong, they know they need a kapara. So there's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, and Magen Avraham, are you allowed to accept the donation, Estan Zayna, for the Shul? Strictly speaking, it's not possible. If they'll donate, let's say, a gold plaque or a silver tray that was given to them, that is the Estan Zayna. They'll donate the actual thing that was given to them as payment, and you're going to use that in the Shul, but if they give money, they make out a check. So strictly speaking, should be mutta. Okay, so Magen Avraham discusses this. How many dinim of the Beis HaMikdash are carried over to the Beis HaKnesses? We consider Beis HaKnesses the Mikdash Miyad. We carry over a lot of dinim from the Beis HaMikdash to the Beis HaKnesses. So what's the story with the Esan Zayna? How far do we carry it? That's the question. So in the Beis HaMikdash there is a din of Esan Zayna. So the Gemara says, what if the character was Mizana with his own mother? Esan Zayna on his own mother. So it's Noyna Shmiso. Abu Alima Schaib Nisa. So would you say, Kom Lebi Derabmine? That he's not mechuyev to give the mother the Esan Zayna. He promised that if she'll be mezana with him, he'll give her a behemah as a payment, not as a matona, as a payment. So the din should have been that Kom Lebi Derabbeinu is not chayv to give it. Whenever you're not chayv to give it, even if you give it, it's not considered an Esan Zayna. It's not a matona the Alma. So she really say that if he's Boa Limo, the Esan Zayna should be muta lahakrobo. So the Gemara writes in Chiddush, Esan Asa Teira, Afilu Boa Limo. It says in the Chumash, Stoma, and it doesn't make any exceptions to the rule, so it seems to imply that even though he's Bualimo and the din should have been Kamla Bidirabina, and I should have considered it like a Matana Bialma, and that really shouldn't be possible, Mitan Esnan Zaina, nonetheless, Allah says that it is possible Hakrama. So the question is why? So Rashi and Taisus interpret on that Gemara, what's the reason why Esnan Asotera Filo Bualimo? So Rashi and Taisus said, because any case of Kamla Bidirabina, you only pass the Medina Yodam, but you still chai Medina Shamai. So therefore, if you do the might to go and pay, if you pay up, it's considered a tashlumin because Bedina Shemaim is still chayiv to pay. So that's why it's called an Esnan Zoyl. That's how Rashi and Taisus learn. And the Meiri quotes this novel interpretation, name of the Chachmei Pravan. They say, no, it's a different voice. It's a different reason why. So Esnan Zoyl is a hishchayiv midah. The employer agrees to pay the employee, I say, if you shovel the snow, I'll pay you $1. If you wash the windows, I'll pay you $5. If you wash the dishes, I'll pay you $25. Whatever. If you do work for me, I'll pay you. So that's a hischaivus midas. The employer agrees to pay the employee if they'll do this work. So here, the noe who wants to be mezana with a woman is the employer, and the woman, the zayna, is the employee, and Esan zayna is a tashlumin. So since Esan zayna is a hischaivus midas, chivus pilum, it's a hischaivus midas, so the whole thing of kam lebi d'rabmine doesn't apply at all. Not that you have kam lebi d'rabmine, but you're pata b'din yonah b'chai b'din yishamayim, and because of the chai b'din yishamayim, that's why it has a shame tashlum. No, yichai b'din yodam, it says them will force them to pay the esan zayna, because it's a hischai b'smidah. That's the third distinction. That's another distinction. What do we say? Nachmina for shigura deraita, and pachas mishavakuta, and kam lebi d'rabmine, according to this opinion in the Meiri, the chachmi pervan. Then they quote a fourth nafkemina lahalacha. They quote the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the middle of Hilchas Malva, towards the end of Hilchas Malva V'Aloyva, he writes a chiddush, royally. He writes a chiddush in the Malva V'Aloyva, Akot M'Shalova. Let's say there's a kid 12 and a half years old. He's not a bad dazzler. So he borrows and he understands business. He knows what's going on. He's making a lot of money. He keeps borrowing money and he invests and he buys and he sells and he buys and he sells. Making a lot of money. So is he, and he borrows money. So then later on, he borrows $100,000, and he says later on, I'm allowed by das, I don't have to pay back. He had enough das to know how to borrow the money, all of a sudden he becomes allowed by das. So the Rambam writes Yeroi Ali, the Magen Mishnah says it's from the Goyim. I don't think he writes Yeroi Ali. He doesn't write Yeroi Ali. The Rambam writes a din that does not appear in the Gemara, and that's a Pella. All the time the Rambam, whatever the Rambam writes a din that doesn't appear in the Gemara, he always writes Yeroi Ali. So over here, I think the Magen Mishnah writes, it says in the Gaonim like that, that a cotton shalava chayv l'shalom l'kishayadu. If the cotton borrows money, he's mechuyev nikaradin to pay back the money. Why? Aye, but the Mishnah says, acherishat v'kotten figiyosan ro, the Mishnah says in achayvo, and bavakam aferet achayvo, acherishat v'kotten shechov l'bacherim turim, if the achayvo or the mazik, or the behemoth did a hezik, so they're not mechuyev to pay. So the answer is, yeah, the Torah doesn't impose a chiyuv tashlumin on the cotton. Whenever it's a chiyuv that the Torah is imposing, the Torah does not impose a chiyuv on the cotton. But if it's a hischaivus midas, if it's a chiyuv that the person accepted upon his own. Now, strictly speaking, if it's a hischaivus midas, the cotton is allowed by das. So how can he have a hischaivus midas? So it's a little bit not accurate. The expression that we use is hischaivus midas. But it means is that it's a hischaivus moment that the person, that the individual accepts upon his own, upon himself, and he understands what he's getting himself into. And then the Rambam is quoting from the Goyim that a katan shalava is chayv l'shalom. Katan shalava has to pay. The Rambam just adds on his chiddush is that v'kishayagdo, that kol zman is a katan, the bezin won't be koy for him to pay. But when he becomes a bar mitzvah, then they will be koy for him to pay. Because the chiyuv to pay was chal v'katnusa. When he borrowed the money, it was chal. And the shach nechoshim mishpat, it writes in one place that it's loved up the cotton shalova. Let's say the cotton agreed to purchase something. I need das to be kind, that's a problem. But he says that's also his chayvus midas. To pay the meha mecca for merchandise that you purchase, that's his chayvus midas. So just like the Rambam writes that the cotton shalova is chayv l'shalom, so a cotton shikona is also chayv l'shalom. That's never going to exist on the level of the right, because the cotton kid do mecca chamemka min haTorah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mekech Hamemta, in Hilchos Mechira, that Cherushet the Kotzim and Atar can't make anything Yonim, and his ability to make Yonim, Ametalsim is only Takana de Rabban. But if the Kotzim makes the Kinyon, Ametalsim, then the Chiyuv to pay, it's a real bona fide Chiyuv. Same thing, he's Allah by Chiyuv. He's only Allah by Chiyuv regarding Chiyuv in moment that the Torah imposes. The Torah doesn't impose a Chiyuv on a Kotzim, it's Allah by Chiyuv.
But if the Kotzer is accepting that his chayv is upon himself, midas atzmo, midaito, his chayv is midas, he can have.
So if he decides to smash a window,
I don't think so. Even if he says, I'll smash your window and I'll tell you, that's not called the Hizkaibis Mindah. The halacha says that the Torah imposes a chiyuv on the Magid to say, he doesn't accept on himself. You have to have Matan Mois. Halvoa to the Matan Mois is Machai. Smashing means the Maita Hezig is Machai. Maita Hezig, the Torah imposes the chiyuv. But Matan Mois, that's the Kenyan. You always need a Kenyan.
So
that's what Taisa said. We would have known that even if the Torah wouldn't have said, we would have understood on our own that a halvora, the mea mekach, that's a hiskaidus mizah. The Agimara has a fifth nafkimidus, a possibility that the requirement of shloshes muchim, the original pasuk ike gimel dechtiv, the original source and chumash, is in the middle of Parshas Mishpatim in the context of Zela. Why is Zela? So Rashi says, Shaleach Yapi Bikotin is Zela. Rashi writes, Nikabal Basel Elohim. The narrow lines before they become wide. The last Rashi before the wide lines. Nikabal Basel Elohim, Midachzi, Midikotin, Parshas Elohim, Gimel Zimni, Nakhlam, and up Gimel and Zay, Sigmar and Zat, you add up three times. Elohim, the Bira Shlosha, I call Sibish and Machinim, is that Torah no Shashalach the Yad Bikot, and the Heinig Zayla. If the Shemachim was Shalach for Yad, he's not all of Gazlon, so it's not going to help better with Neras afterwards. One thing that Gazlon is Chai Beyonce. So the Shemachim says, not true. I was not Shalach for Yad, and I was not for Shea, and therefore I'm not Chai in the Yonah. Shemachim is only Chai in Shalach. If Shalach for Yad, not all of Gazlon, or it's Chai Befi for Shea. So since the whole dispute is whether the Shemachinim was a Gazlon, was not a Gazlon, Ein Gzeilus, Rashi says. So this is the original source in the Chumash that speaks about the Bezn of Shloshes Muchim is in the middle of the Parsha of Gzeilus. So Gemara has a question, which Gemara says on Gimel Amud Aleph is a Machloikis Hatanoim and a Machloikis Amoraim Hadapatkin, whether the need for Shloshes Muchim that really appears, the only place that appears in Chumash, is by Gzeilus Vahavolos, does it apply also to Haiduas Vahavos or not? What's the difference in description, what's the difference conceptually between Gzeilus Vahavolos and Haiduas Vahavos? Perhaps so then she thought that that's what it means over here also. Gzeilus Vahavolos means a chiyuv moment that the Torah imposes upon the person, and Haiduas Vahavos means a chiyuv moment that the Torah, that the person accepts upon himself. But maybe the only time the Torah requires a bezin of three to adjudicate the matter is when it's a chiyuv moment that the Torah is imposing upon the person. But then the Torah requires a bezin of three to determine did the Torah impose the chiyuv moment or not. But if the chiyuv moment that he accepted upon himself, maybe it would be enough. Chav nami kasha. Maybe one can also adjudicate the case. Maybe you don't need shloshes muchim. So that's what the Gemara refers to as the machlokes by the ear of parshas kasav kan. Or ain't kind of any of Parshas Kasav Kan. The need for Shloshes Muchim that's written by Gzeilus Vahavolos, the original source, Ikir Gimel Dichtivi by Gzeilus Vahavolos. The original passing of Chumash is only by Gzeilus Vahavolos. Does it also carry over to in Kesef Talbes Ami, which is also on Parshas Mishpat? Does it carry over to that Parsha or not? So that's the Machlokes on the next daf, where they say Ir Parshas Kasav Kan, or ain't kind Ir Parshas. Yeah, nobody to say the reverse doesn't make any sense. Say that you only need Shloshes Smuchim by Hoidot Mahavoyes, and you don't need Shloshes Smuchim by Gzeilus Vahavolos. Nobody says like that. Shloshes Smuchim for sure are required in a Torah by Gzeilus Vahavolos. The only machlokes is whether we don a mamatzino, whether we say who adinami Hoidot Mahavoyes, even if it's his chayv, even if it's a chiyuv moment, which is his chayvus midas, we also require a bezin of Shloshes Smuchim in a Torah. And the ability of the Rabbonim to function today as a bezin of dini mamidus and adot avos mitam shlichus tayu, it's a takona, even the Rabbonim and Torah, whatever, it's based on shlichus tayu. Or should we say no, that min Torah you only need by Gzeilus Vahavolos? That's the shaila ear of Parshas Kasav Kan. You say the need for Shloshes Muchim that is written in the Chumash by Gzeilus Vahavolos, does it apply only there, or does it also apply and the other parsha? Here is, are you ma'arif together? Do you mix together the parsha of in Kesef Talda Sami with the Parsha Gzeres Nachavol Tamna. Rashi over here has his famous opinion that Taisus is very unhappy about. See the one line Taisus. Taisus says, the Ikasav, the Yerapash does come, the first Bagdad will come. He left it out, it takes up a whole daf. There's hardly any Gemara than that. Taisus takes up a whole lot. So they gave us a break. They left out the whole Taisus. But you gotta look in that Taisus in order to. You have to know that Rashi over here has a sheet that no one else agrees with. Rashi says over here. There's big Rashi on the bottom. Now Rashi explains what the Yerapashi is. He writes such a wild interpretation. He says that the need for Moedah the Mikzah, when do you have a Shavua Deraita? Most in the if you have a Shavua, it's going to be a Shavua Derabah. In rare cases, you're going to have a Shavua Deraita. When do you have a Shavua Deraita? It's the one Shavua Deraita we just had. The Nikra Balabai Elhu Elohim L'Shavua, and Lo Shalach Yodav and Malach Hasriyah, that's Shavua Tashemir. The Shemir has to swear, Shalosh Shalach Tzi Boyad, because if Shalach Boyad, Nachal of Gazlan, and it doesn't help that he swears Shalosh Pashaiti. Even if lo pashaiti, but once you shalech bayah, not all of Gazlan, so Gazlan is chayyam. So that's one shvua deraita. The shema has to swear. If the shema gives back the pikkudim, he doesn't have to swear. He gave it back. Or the shema chinam says, guilty of charge, and I make out a check, 150 kal hirini. So what do you have to swear? He doesn't have to swear. But the rabbanan will make him swear sometimes. Let's say he says, where's the diamond ring? And the Shem Achinim says, I was Poshea and I owe you $100,000, here's a check, he makes that check. But then we'll make him swear, we're afraid that maybe he's lying, maybe he wants to buy the ring and he's afraid the market is not going to sell it to him, and he's stealing it and he's paying him the money. So Midr Rabbanan will make him swear, unless it's a ring that's available in all the stores. If it's a ring that's available, but unless they're monolithic, it's not available in all the stores. So he's the Shem Achinim on a monolithic. And then he says, Ligna. And he says, Pashaiti, and he makes out a check. So then we won't just accept the check. The Rabbanan, the Natar, what is it? They don't make a Shavua is Bimkhan payment. If the guy's supposed to pay, if there's a Sikhtas of that moment, and he doesn't want to pay, so then you make him swear, and you don't trust him just on his word. But if he's paying, so the Natar, there's no such thing as making the guy swear if he's paying the money. And the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, but Messiah, Hashim Hashem, I know nothing, but maybe he wants to keep the mono wisdom, and you're going to get away with it. I write in all the history books, the Mona Lisa was stolen in the year 2003. It's not touching, it's not a funeral, so how's he gonna hide it? Whatever. That's it. So there's one Shavua Deraita, Shavua Tashem. There's another Shavua Deraita, Moedah B'Mikzah. I say that I lent you $100, you say, I don't know who you are. I never borrowed any money. You said, yeah, I borrowed the money, I paid you back. For writing. So you don't swear over there. Minatera is no shvua, but Kofar Hakul is no shvua. But if you made it a mitzvah, I say I lent you $100 and you never paid back. Say, what do you mean? I paid you back $85 and I owe you only $15, and I'll pay you the $15 when it comes Sukkot. There's a time schedule. There's a payment schedule. So I'll pay you the remaining $15 when it comes time. So that's a Moedah B'Mikzah, and the Malva says, not sure, I left you $100 and never paid anything back. So a Moedah B'Mikzah also swears a Shavuot Deraita. So you have a Shavuot Deraita. I say I lent you $1,000, and you say you paid it all back. You say you never borrowed it, whatever. And then there's an Eidechot, who supports the claim of the Toveah. If the Toveah would have two Eidim who support his claim, so he wins, right? So Toveah only has Eidechot. So Eidechot is not really good, L'Hotzi Mammon. But Echad is good to be Mechayiv the Nitzva, a Shavua Deraita. So these are the three Shavuot Deraita. You have Shavuot Moedah B'Mikzah, you have Shavuot Eid Echad, and then you have the Shavuot HaShomer. The Rashi here raises a question. What if I say to the Shomer, I just came back from Eretz Yisrael, I've been there for a month, and I'm afraid to leave my jewelry at home. I have such valuable jewelry. Thousands of dollars worth of jewelry. So I come to you and I say, thank you for watching all the jewelry. Can you give it back to me? So then he's Moedah B'Mikzah and Kofar B'Mikzah. He says that you only gave me 5 pieces of jewelry. And I say, what do you mean? I gave you 25 pieces of jewelry, not 5 pieces of jewelry. In such a case, he's a Moedah B'Mikzah. So Moedah B'Mikzah swears the Shavuot Deraita. Fine. What if I say, I come back to Eretz Yisrael and I say, I asked you to watch my 25 pieces of jewelry, where are they? The guy says, I don't know who you are. You never asked me to watch anything. Next Sunday, he says, I don't know who you are, you never asked me to watch anything. It's Kofar Hakol. So Rashi says, Yechai b'shvuah d'oraisa. Rashi writes over here, Bava Tama also, Kuf Zayin. And that's that long, gigantic text. The text says, we never heard of such a thing. They disagree with Rashi. Rashi writes the whole shekel. Why Kofa Hakol is not Chai b'shvuah d'oraisa by Halvoya, but Kofa Hakol swears the shvuah d'oraisa by Yishayna. Why? Because by Halvoya, did him a favor by lending him the money. By Shema Farket, the Shema is doing me a favor. I didn't do him a favor, he's doing me a favor. So Billy Netter, Sunday morning, we'll have to pick up from here. We'll start. If you have a chance, look in that big Tosfos in Baruch Hanan. If you don't look in the Tosfos, we'll say it over anything. Okay, so again, Sunday morning, we're going to have Shir, I think in this building, no? Sunday morning.